The Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what's about you, but I can't even stand you.
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
It's going to be a great show.
Let's kick it. I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on. God damn it. Could you one time kick it? What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Hey, Rube Star.
Alan, sorry to bother you at work, but I'm just busting.
Are you, Rube Star?
He's so sorry.
Are you sorry to bother me at work?
Yeah, I know.
Now, this is the only place you could get a hold of me. So it stands to reason that you'd get a hold of me at work.
Okay. Called me out on that. But I remember one time you lost a bet and you drank a shot of urine.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, that really stuck with me for some reason. I don't know. Every time I brush my teeth, I think of you drinking that, and I think, man, is he a degenerate, whatever. But I ended up watching like 4 hours.
Every time he brushes his teeth, he thinks of me drinking pee.
And that that you're a degenerate.
Thing. He's right on that. I am a degenerate. But just thinking of me drinking pee when he brushes his teeth.
I don't think I'd ever get my teeth clean.
That was years ago now.
It was still 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So, joke's on me, Alan. Turns out drinking urine is a great thing. Now, look, nobody wants to be known as a urine drinker, so let's just call it Rube Juice. So, I watched about 4 hours worth of videos last night of the amazing benefits of Rube Juice and what it does for your body. Now, I had a stiff shot last night, and I just had another one about an hour ago. It's kind of hard to go down, but it is amazing. I feel great. It resets the body. It's safe. It's fine. They say it whitens your teeth. It gets rid of nail fungus. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Did you have nail fungus before you started taking it?
Well, I mean, I just started this last night, but one of the guy's testimonies, there's thousands of testimonies. If I could say the YouTube video channel, I would like to, but if not, that's fine.
Are these random videos you found, or is there someone who's got a YouTube channel devoted to drinking pee?
Well, it's just part of it. It's D. Murphy 25 is the guy's
so
British
you're just
bloke.
Taking his word for it?
But I'm the degenerate. Here's a guy with a YouTube channel for drinking pee. But, okay, well listen. Whatever gets you through the night, Rube Star, right?
I'm telling you, Alan, this stuff is amazing.
What he's saying is he has great breath.
Yeah, it smells like asparagus every time he talks to you.
I know that my piss is stronger than yours.
You do need a chaser. It's a really weird flavor, but
Alan didn't do a chaser.
No,
he took it like a man.
Yeah, wasn't that bad actually. My pee's pretty clear, so it's is warm enough, and it wasn't that bad. I can drink a shot of anything. Come on,
and that's actually a very very remedial site when it comes to pee drinking. If you want to go to the best YouTube channel about pee drinking, you're going to want to go to youtube.com/pisswarm90.
Best reference.
youtube.com/pisswarm90. Uh-huh.
Alan, at this point, I would pay to be one of the girls that R. Kelly peed on.
How much would you pay, Rube Star?
Like $50 at least.
$50 whole dollars. Wow, listen to this guy.
Well, drip, drip, drip.
Yeah. Your salary.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, okay. Listen, I'm glad whatever kind of golden epiphany you've reached here, Rube Star. I hope it improves your life immeasurably. And please stop thinking about me when you're doing anything in the bathroom.
Yeah, asparagus all.
Assuming that you brush your teeth in the bathroom.
I do.
God knows where this guy does anything.
Eric, if you start fainting again, keep that in mind. It's a miracle.
Yeah, pee is not going to prevent that. But thank you. I appreciate the suggestion.
She has 2 Gatorades. One's Pedialyte.
A Pedialyte and a Gatorade.
A blue Pedialyte and an orange Gatorade. Neither of these is even... She didn't even want to look at yellow fluid, Rooster.
No.
By the way, if it's too yellow, you need to shore up your diet a little bit. It shouldn't look like...
It gets clearer as you keep sending it through. It keeps coming out clearer and clearer.
Yeah, I know how pee works. All right, listen. Thank you, Rube Star. Appreciate the information as always.
I vote Rube Star high.
Pound Cake back there taking copious notes. He does not like Rube Star, boy.
I don't dislike Rube Star.
I really can't stand him. Like overall, I'm not offended by him. I don't think he adds anything.
No, he's looking for attention, and we give it to him every time.
Well, yeah. Because who cares?
At least Dick can be funny sometimes.
Yeah, accidentally. At least Rube Star's trying material.
But it's not good.
Yeah, I'll keep trying. Yeah. No. At least he's bringing me something.
I'd rather someone be accidentally funny than someone intentionally terrible.
No. I want somebody who prepares before they call me.
Yeah, he has a monologue.
Dick just goes, and we all go, it's hilarious, this old guy.
But he plays along.
But it's a one-note joke.
He'll sing the dumb songs. Sometimes you can get a lot out of him.
Yeah, but for the next 25 times that Dick's going to call, he's just going to talk about when I visited him at Lowe's.
That's my fault, and I'm sorry.
In fairness, though, his voice brings me comfort somehow. It's... You know, checking in with your grandpa, you know?
You know what?
You know how often you talk to your grandparents on the phone?
Oh, that's
There's a reason
fun.
People don't do that.
Well, I
Yours
can't.
Are all dead. No,
no
but when
I
they
got
were,
one left.
Yeah, how often do you talk to them on the phone?
Well, she can't hear me.
If she could, how often would you talk to her on the phone?
I would call her once a week if she could hear me.
Yeah, well, if Dick calls us once a week, I'd be happy.
That's true.
Come once a day. Come on, you just talk to your grandma once a day?
Yeah.
Hey, Nana. I don't
know. As far as Rube Star calls go, that one was painless compared to some of them.
Yes.
That was something we could have a little bit of fun
with. He has provided some serious turds.
Maybe I just have low tolerance.
And
today.
I'll bail out. You do, because you go into it with a bad attitude, right? And I go into every caller, even if it's a regular call.
Yeah.
I go into every caller
It's going to be amazing.
Well, no. See what we can do with this.
Yeah,
right? If I got to polish a turd, that's what I'm here to do. So they pay me for it. Polishing turds.
Yep.
How is that Pedialyte?
I don't know. I'm still trying to open it.
She's weak with thirst.
Mm-hmm. I've never had Pedialyte before, but it seems like it would taste like medicine. And you have to buy it from the infant section
of Pedialyte, it's great for hangovers. Great Pedialyte, man.
Yeah, if you need electrolytes,
fantastic.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. Because you know how when babies get all drunk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how they figured out it was such a great hangover cure. These toddlers stumbling around. They're like, what's going on? Well, A... doesn't have full use of his legs yet. B, drinks too much. So they came to the conclusion.
Baby hangover.
Yes. Pedialyte's great.
Well, that's why babies are always puking and peeing all over the place.
Why is
drunk,
that?
Drunk, drunk and hungover. Yeah.
Piss warm 90.
And they have diarrhea because they went for, a late night meal the night before.
Mm-hmm. Up all night crying.
I can't get it open, so.
Would you like me to get it open
you
for you?
You can try.
All right.
Good luck, Alan. Yeah, good luck.
Good luck getting that foil cap off.
Yeah.
It's harder than you think.
How's he ever going to do that? Well, here's how you do it. You poke it with a pen, and then you get it open.
Well, I didn't have a pen in handy. I had a nothing.
Here.
She had a nothing.
I had a charisma.
Am I turning 100? Why am I adding to everything?
Yeah, you want to talk to old people all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least Alan was here to teach you how to logic.
Well, I have been spending a lot of time in waiting rooms with old people in the doctor's office.
I live with an old person, so...
But yeah, she's a hip old person.
Yeah, but she still talks like an old person.
Yeah.
I will give her all the credit
in the world, it's a little harder.
I was just taking all the pieces out.
Oh, thank you.
I do give Grandma all the credit in the world, though, because when we were backstage at Kent Stage and, we were talking real dirty,
Oh, yeah, Grandma can handle it.
But she just was like, really? That's what...
I tried to get Grandma to bring Bill out at Kent, and she wanted nothing
to
say. Yeah, she was too nervous, or she didn't want that kind of spotlight.
Is it that good?
The hell is that? Try this and tell me this tastes good. Oh, God.
No, it doesn't taste good, but that's why people drink it for hangovers.
Well,
nobody walks through and chooses Pedialyte. They go, I need a mixer.
Well, I was just trying to try something different,
Belvedere and Pedialyte.
Pots isn't contagious, right?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
What if it was?
Uh-huh.
Highly.
She got that Pots cough.
Whoa.
Isn't that terrible?
It's thick.
Yeah.
It's real thick.
It's for infants.
You want
No, I've had Pedialyte.
Okay. I've had it before, too, but...
Do they bother to give it a flavor, or is it just say blue?
It's berry flavor.
Berry flavor,
berry
yeah.
frost.
Yeah.
It's so
it's
frosty.
It's very thick.
But there was one bottle that said unflavored. I'm like...
Oh.
Couldn't it just say original? Something about unflavored just does not seem appealing
to me. It's
going to
taste like Soylent Green or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, Rick. Now, how do you feel about Rick calling?
Love Rick.
All right.
I've always loved Rick.
Hello? Yeah, but Rick doesn't go yard all the time either.
No, but when he doesn't have much to add, he stays brief.
Okay.
You know?
How you doing, Alan?
I'm fantastic. What's going on, Rick?
Bill, we got to do it tomorrow.
That's right. We're going to win both. We're going to take care of home court.
We got to, man.
Yeah.
I miss Erica.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, man. What is up with what's his name? Summerstock. What's his name?
Roopstar?
What's up with what's his name?
Summerstock.
What is wrong with him?
What? He's just drinking pee, Rick. What's the matter with that?
He's a thirsty boy.
That's right.
I guess so.
It probably tastes better than his Pedialyte.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe he should
Pedialyte is what Roopstar's drinking.
Maybe he should try some beer, some wine, some liquor, pee.
Well, I don't think he exclusively drinks pee, Rick, but he was trying to find common ground with me. That was the whole point of his bit. Rick, you are a man of letters. You're a worldly individual. You're never short on the company of ladies. You're trying to tell me that in all your years of fussing and fighting and getting out there and doing whatever the ladies want to do, you've never drank pee before?
Hell no.
Wow. Well, listen. Who says that when you get older in life, there are no more mountains to climb, right? Drink some pee, Rick. Oh, what are you, late 50s?
No.
How old are you, Rick?
I'm not going to tell you.
So you're old. All right. Well, listen, that's okay, though.
Just tell us the year you were born and month and day.
Huh?
Just tell us the year, month, and day you were born.
How old do you think I am?
I told you, late 50s.
I say 68.
See, I'm being nicer to you than Eric is.
47.
You're not 47. My black ass, you're 47. I'm going to be 47 in 2 weeks.
I'm 47. Alan.
What year were you born?
I'm 47.
What year were you?
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS. The Alan Cox Show is back.
Hi, we're back.
Ask Alexa. Ask Google Home. Hell, you can even ask Alan.
I could probably get you some information over here.
Whatever smart device you have, just tell it to play The Alan Cox Show on iHeartRadio.
Bill Maher is on the phone. He's been on the show before, and I want to thank him for taking time out. He's been in mourning today since Alexander Shulgin, the godfather of ecstasy, died at the age of 88. So... Bill, I appreciate, as always, you giving of yourself.
No, why am I in mourning for that? I'm very curious.
Well, I don't know.
I'm the poster boy for ecstasy now.
No, but couldn't you be? I know you're a pot guy. I am too. But were you ever an ecstasy guy?
You know, there was a brief shining moment in the past, but that was a very long time ago. I think the first time I did ecstasy was 1989. I seem to remember being at a Halloween party, being unable to drive home, and I asked a man who had come as Manimal. His face was painted. He was wearing a suit with a bow tie, and his face was painted like an animal.
Yeah.
And I start tripping, and I'm like, oh, my God, a tiger was driving the car.
Right.
And it was, I think I did about 10 or 12 of those trips, but, you know, it was a year or two in my life, and either the drug changed or I did or something, but like many drugs, it had diminishing returns. The first time was outstanding. The second time was very good. By the last time, it was like, eh.
Well, and they say, you know, they say you love everybody. So you were, you know, you went from Manimal and, you know.
Yeah.
Caught you in the driveway making out with a 68 Corvair or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then there was that rumor that it affected your spine. Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was true, that we'd all have dinosaur backs if we did it. I don't know.
Well, and the guy who basically, this pharmacologist who was known for popularizing it, he died of liver cancer. So you college kids who are hot on the molly, you know, this might be down the road. You never know.
The molly, right.
It's now molly. It's now molly. I don't know why I thought of you. I knew you were going to be on today. I just thought it was kismet.
I'm very happy that at the age of 58, people still are associating me with fun.
Yeah, why not? I'll tell you what, the very first time I did ecstasy, it did nothing. So I want to do it again. Like you said, law of diminishing returns, but I haven't even gotten any initial returns.
Now, I think you just got ripped off. I mean, if it did nothing, I think you were sold the equivalent of oregano.
I was going to say.
Sugar pill.
Now, ecstasy looks like number two pencil shavings, right? I'm pretty sure that I got
aspirin, man.
Yeah, I got ground up aspirin. Well, I have been known to sniff a Midol here and there, but Did nothing either. I think last time you were here, I saw you at University of Akron.
Right. Akron.
It was a Sunday night. I don't remember what the venue is there that you were there. But are you guys on hiatus for real time now?
No, we were off last week. We're back this week. We don't get big hiatuses anymore. We get a month off in, I think, August, and then we get December. Other than that, we pretty much go full time, except for the occasional every 6 or 7 weeks, get a breather. But yeah, the news keeps happening, so they feel like we need to be here at our desk, which is good for me. I don't do well with unsupervised time. I might go back to the ecstasy. You never know.
Yeah, just you and Molly hand in hand. Going to...
It's time to revisit it for you, buddy.
Yeah, but I also think, too, is that you're probably a guy who, if you're on hiatus, like you said, the news keeps happening, and you look at it and you go, oh, God, I wish I was talking about this Friday.
Yeah, sometimes it depends on what's going on. Some weeks I go, you know, I'm glad I'm not talking about this because it's just sad. When we were off last week, they had that horrible shooting at Santa Barbara. And, you know, I don't know what to say anymore about the guns, although I'm going to try on Friday. But things like that, sometimes it's good. It's actually better to take a week so people can kind of get over it and it's not the too soon factor. You know, if anybody has faced the criticism of too soon in their commentary over the years, it is me. I'm more the too soon guy than the too much ecstasy guy, I feel.
Not only that, but now with social media, and obviously it's not a new development, but everybody now is trying to be hilarious and everybody's trying to kind of process information at the same time, that there are a lot of things that kind of, like you said, they benefit from taking half a step back and going, okay, let's try to process a little bit of this rather than just firing the first shot across the bow and getting nowhere.
Yeah, especially since the internet really has become nothing more than just sort of a gotcha exercise. You know, people just laying in wait for the first person to step in it and say the wrong thing. It's just the, you know, what I call the good people. The good people are out there waiting to pat themselves at the back,
right,
on the back for pointing at the person who said the wrong thing. That's how they know they're the good people.
Yeah.
Because they'll tell you who are the bad people. And, you know, I thought we went through this in the 90s with all the political correctness, and it just came back even worse with social media.
Yeah, you have to do a full apology tour now.
Well, when you can be an activist without leaving your couch, it just makes it so easy for people.
Right.
You come up with a hashtag and you're like, I'm changing the world.
Yeah.
Right. So much for you, freedom writers. I just hit send.
Yeah. Right. I saw you on Chris Hayes' show on MSNBC.
Uh-huh.
And he's seems to be kind of more in line with how you think. But I've seen you pop up bravely so on Fox News and stuff like that, and it always seems like you should be beyond the point of them trying to set you up, but it always seems like they're still trying to set you up. You're not some rube who just walked in off the street. They always seem like they're trying to set you up.
That's what I said about Sean Hannity. The bitch set me up.
Yeah.
well, actually, I wish I could do more Fox News. They, you know, Roger Ailes actually banned me from Fox News some years ago. I used to do Bill O'Reilly's the one guy who has the power over there to buck that, and he has me on sometimes.
He's the adult over there.
He's done our show. Well, I think he's the 800-pound gorilla because they can't say no to him. But everybody else at Fox News, somebody wrote a book about Fox News and revealed that they actually had put out a memorandum about me saying, you know, they would not to have me on, and that whenever they referred to me, it should be by the name Pigmar, which is so clever.
Yeah, sure.
Comes with my first name, Bill.
Yeah.
Oh wait, it doesn't. Yeah.
It was like a modern day Hoover file they had on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so they had this sort of mixed feeling, I think, about me. They don't want to talk about me, and yet they can't help themselves because on their website, every Saturday morning is some sort of screed against what I said on Friday's show that they just have to respond to, which is fine because it's kind of good for both of us. It arouses our defenders to get in the act and talk about whatever side they think is righteous. And we're kind of like gays and Christians. We have a symbiotic relation, and we need each other.
I know it's early, and there's a ton of information coming out. Do you have an initial take on this Bo Bergdahl situation?
Well, we knew he was a deserter 2 years ago. You know, Michael Hastings reported that. So, I mean, that's not new. They're acting like that's, oh, how dare we save somebody who was a deserter.
Is that the Rolling Stone article?
Yeah.
That was like the only thing I knew about the guy. I don't know that I had picked up on the fact that the deserter thing was, but that was literally the only thing I knew about this guy was from that article.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he I understand why the guys who had to go after him feel kind of bad about this guy being freed. It's kind of ironic. He's the one vet who's getting treatment now in a timely basis.
Yeah.
What I find most ridiculous is what the Republicans are saying, of course, because Obama did it, so it's evil. I mean, if George Bush had done it, it would have been, of course, well, it's the patriotic thing to do, even though he was hardly a perfect soldier. We don't leave any on the battlefield. But, of course, when Obama does the same thing that a Republican would do, then somehow he's Hitler crossed with Dracula times lung cancer. I mean, it's always the same thing.
Well, and I mentioned this before. I'm like, Reagan is the GOP wet dream, and he traded arms for hostages.
Of course.
You know, yeah.
Exactly. And trading for hostages is something everybody does in war. The Israelis do it all the time. And by the way, they do it in numbers like 1,000 to 1 to get one of theirs back. But this idea that I've heard McCain and his boyfriend Lindsey Graham talking about how, you know, we traded for the, oh, it's terrible because we were releasing the Taliban dream team, you know, these five guys who got off the murderer's row, as if these five guys who have been sitting in Guantanamo Bay since 2002 are just so uber talented at terrorism that they're going to make a huge difference. They're just five more bearded schmucks that are out there, as if, like, in the intervening years, there weren't many others who took their place and wanted to attack America. Yes, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of jihadis who would like to do harm to America. I really don't think these guys are so special that it's going to make that big of a difference. Plus, their skills, I imagine, are like 12 years out of date. You know, we will recruit on MySpace.
Yeah, being in Gitmo probably makes you a little soft.
Blow up a plane on Trump Air, and, you know, I mean, come on.
They're Keystone Cops, but spelled with Q's.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Bill, as always, good to hear from you. And,
you too, Alan.
Thanks. All right, brother. Take care. There's Bill Maher. Hey, Brett.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Hey, I'll tell you a story. I caught my wife and my brother together in my house one day.
I assume they weren't playing Chinese checkers.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They were playing something.
Yeah. your wife and your brother were going at it in your home?
In my bed.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. This happened a few years ago, but my father told me he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I didn't do a thing. I just turned around and walked into the den, and I got my mortgage payment book, my car payment book, my utility bills, and I walked into the bedroom and I threw them on the bed and said, if you want that bitch, those go with her. And I walked out of the house and I never went back.
So how, Brett, give me some backstory here. How long had you and your wife been married?
10 years.
10 years. Was she your age?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And was there any indication whatsoever that your brother was into your wife or vice versa? They made, like, jokes to each other or what?
Well, they joked a lot, but, you know, I never really looked at it that way. I was saying, whatever, you know, my brother was a silly person. I didn't care.
Did you have a good relationship with your brother?
I didn't to that point.
But did you have, were you and your wife on the rocks after 10 years?
Nope.
So this was it was a complete shock to you.
Oh yeah, it was. She was just out there doing ugly.
Yeah.
Are they still together?
I have no idea. I haven't spoken to either one of them in 4 years.
Wow. Oh, wow. So like the brother's out of the picture now, right?
Oh yeah.
And so you throw all the papers at him and.
Wow. You know, that's not a legal way to do that.
You got to pay for it.
True. He's a lawyer.
It's common law, Bill.
It's like, I declare bankruptcy. I declare divorce.
See? I declare.
Everyone wants to crack jokes talking about, like, there's not a way to cheat respectfully. That would be the worst type of way to cheat. Cheat with a family member in the house, in the bed. That's the worst way to cheat.
What is your argument here?
What's the respectful way to do it?
You get a hotel room with somebody nobody knows.
Because it's nicer, that's more respectful?
It's
you at least try to hide it a little bit.
Exactly. Right. You had no type of compassion whatsoever.
Brett, let me ask you this. Did your wife, did they both, jump up and try to explain? Or were they just kind of like maybe they were trying to get caught?
Here's the deal. They wanted to explain, but my wife and brother were afraid of me. I'm a former Airborne Ranger.
Oh, so you're a badass. So,
no, I just get mad and I do things I'm not supposed to do. But,
okay.
Is that why you haven't spoken to him in 4 years?
But
he can't speak.
He has a better round, yeah.
Yeah.
When they realized I was angry, they tried everything they could do to keep me from going ballistic. And when I just handed them the paperwork and said, go away and leave me alone, that shocked them. They didn't think that was going to happen. They thought it was going to be ugly.
So I assume you guys don't have any kids.
Yeah, I have 3 kids and 7 grandchildren.
You have 3 kids with her?
Yes, sir.
No,
my first wife.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
I have a stepchild with that one, but I don't like him either, so it doesn't matter.
So it sounds like Brett kind of got, the circumstances notwithstanding, you kind of got the longer end of the stick here.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine.
Good for you.
They can do what they want to do. I'm a happy man. I get up and work, eat and sleep, and do what I have to do. But
right.
I thought you might enjoy that story, but talking about people cheating, that's a hell of a thing to see when you walk into your own house.
How do you trust anybody after that?
You
like, if you can't trust your own family, I'm not even talking about your wife, that's not related to you, but your own flesh and blood.
I can't blame everybody else for someone else's ignorance. And I always give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
Were you close with your brother, though?
Not as close as his wife.
I was.
Was he your only sibling, Brett?
No, I had a sister.
A sister. And where does she come down on the side of this? I assume other family members felt like they had to take a side.
You have to at that
no,
point.
No, my family is weird. My sister passed away about 5 years ago, but, everybody just kind of said, do what you have to do.
Yeah. Had your sister passed away before this happened?
She passed away just after it happened.
Just after. She died of embarrassment.
She wasn't happy about it, though. My sister was mean as a snake.
Right. Listen, from what little I've learned, I like the cut of Brett's jib and his sister. Yeah. His sister was mean as a snake, he says. It's my kind of woman.
My sister would beat you to death just for looking at her wrong.
I believe you 100%, Brett. Let me ask you this before I let you go. Who was on top?
I think she was.
She was. Okay, right. So you walk in, she's got her back to you, and then they do that, quick. Boy, what a boner killer, too.
No, right?
That whole quick thing where they pull the sheet over him, and he just turns on his heel and walks out and gets all the papers and throws them on the bed. Good for you.
Yeah, I just said, hey, have fun with it.
Right.
I said, you're going to learn.
You said she's your problem now, I bet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't need it. Didn't want it. I've learned to just move on.
Now, do you have a girl now? Are you with someone now?
No, I bought a dog. It's safer that way.
Understood. But you're not on dating apps or anything like that?
Oh, God, no. You see those freaks on those apps?
I'm just saying. I mean, you're a guy. He sounds like he's still a virile guy. And
you're not in South Euclid, are you?
He's in Ashtabula.
Okay, because he said he got a dog.
I'm 56 years old, and right at this moment, I'm just like, you know what? I'm a land surveyor. I just work and go to sleep and go eat and go to bed, watch TV.
Right.
And I don't worry about that mess right now.
You're living your life.
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, listen, I appreciate your candor there, Brad. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, pal.
Well, I guess it was back in 63 when eating my cooking got the better of me, so I asked this little girl I was going with to be my wife. Well, she said she would, so I said I do. But I'd have said I wouldn't if I'd have just knew how saying I do was gonna screw up all of my life. Well, the first few years weren't all that bad. I'll never forget the good times we had, because I'm reminded every month when I send her the child support. Well, it wasn't too long till the lust all died, and I'll admit I wasn't too surprised the day I come home and found my suitcase sitting out on the porch. Well, I tried to get in, she changed the lock. Then I found this note taped on the mailbox that said, "Goodbye, Turkey, my attorney will be in touch." So I decided right then and there I was gonna do what's right, give her fair share. But brother, I didn't know her share was gonna be that much. She got the gold mine, I got the share. They split it right down the middle, and then they give her the better half. Well, it all sounds sort of funny, but it hurts too much to laugh. She got the gold mine, I got the share.
I don't know if Brett had a gold mine, but I mean, you know, he got rid of all the stuff he didn't need. Or
sounds,
want.
Sounds like his wife got the shaft.
Got it. Alan, a friend of mine just named her baby Maverick. Must be the new thing. Mm. There you go. We got to get these Mavericks together.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My daughter's name is Rosemary. My six-year-old niece is named Harriet.
Harriet.
Harriet. Sweet Harriet.
That's one you don't hear.
Woman. Whoa, man.
She stole my heart and my cat.
She made me horny Saturday morning. Oh, boy. If you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, I wonder if Poundcake would think it's disrespectful to cheat after being married for 11 months and not getting it in for 11 months. The whoopee happened in the bushes in front of my house. Why not behind your house?
What?
The bushes in front of your house.
The bushes were.
Huh.
So wait.
But was this by the question?
This person was cheating.
Well, because they had been married for 11 months and hadn't had sex in that time. Mm-hmm. I mean,
sounds like I
maybe have a conversation. I don't know if this is a male or a female.
I'm just saying,
probably
all,
a guy.
All cheating is wrong, but there are levels. All cheating is wrong. I don't.
Yeah, but the adjective respectful implies that that's the good just, way to do it.
I'm just saying it's on another level. Like you are,
I would
term
agree
going
with him.
So low.
No, I agree.
Going like to a hotel with someone that your wife doesn't know.
It's just a rando.
Is better than family in your bed.
Yeah,
like that's way more
like
upsetting.
Kids outside playing. Yeah. Like they're like, oh, that's just Uncle Jack in there laying the jackhammer down on mommy.
I wonder if he had if any conversations had to be had with him. He said he had grandchildren.
Yeah.
That guy's not that much older than I am. He's got grandkids. Alan, my daughter's name is Rhubarb. That is my favorite one so far.
Rhubarb.
Never rub another man's rhubarb. Brett sounds like Donnie in 15 years, somebody said. There you go.
Just in time for your afternoon nap.
Now back to the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Got some new video for you if you're watching at alancoxshow.com. We mentioned a few weeks ago we were lamenting the loss of the famous can opener bridge.
Not the loss, but they're raising it.
Well, they were raising it and thereby weren't going to be snaring trucks anymore was the thought going into it. This guy has had a fixed camera on this bridge. It was like 11feet8.com or something, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that is still open because even though they've raised it, there are still trucks. Even though they raised it 8 inches, even though there is a flashing sign that apparently knows ahead of time this truck is too big. It says oversized or over height. You have to turn. People aren't paying attention or people don't watch. This is in Durham, North Carolina. And they snared so many trucks on this bridge that it got to be a real problem. And so they raised that portion of the bridge 8 inches. Imagine what it takes, a feat of engineering. It seems like that would be easier. But I bet you it's more difficult to raise a bridge 8 inches than, say, 8 feet.
Yeah.
I bet that small, less than a foot, I bet that would be more difficult to do.
No, 8 feet, you have to make it completely, you have to build an entire new bridge, basically.
But what do they do here? They just shave it, or they...
I think they add onto the road a little bit, and they go, I don't know. I've never
still a lot of structural work somewhere.
Lot, yes, it's a lot of work.
Why didn't they just make a brand new bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, takes too much time.
Probably a lot more work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I
think they should just make it a ramp. Just that way, they don't have to have a bridge,
it.
And then you have to jump over that section of road.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like the Dukes of Hazzard. Mm-hmm. Every truck that
now
wants
you're
to go by.
Are you going to start shaming me for my ramp idea, Mary?
I didn't shame that at all. I was on board.
I'm just saying,
yes.
Anytime I come up with some great idea,
a ramp is a better idea than a moat.
All right.
given your history of prejudice against Bill's clearly amazing ideas, it's not without the realm of possibility that he would assume you were ready to strike with some cutting comment.
It's not just because they're your ideas. It's not that I hate everything that comes out of your face. I hate the dumb stuff.
Your face.
That's all.
So you're saying that no matter who came up with that idea, it would be equally dumb.
Correct. I'm anti-moat no matter who says it.
Okay.
Ramps? I like ramps. Funny things happen on ramps.
See, I feel you're being a tad disingenuous. I think that if I had thrown this moat idea out...
You'd be more open to it.
I would have questioned just the same.
Not more open to it, but you wouldn't have been as vehemently opposed as you were to Bill's moat idea.
I think so.
I brought you into my home.
You brought me into your home so I could see it, so you could ask me to paint it.
Yeah, so did you ask her to bring a tape measure, by the way, when she showed up?
No, I have a tape measure.
Get that blue tape?
Yeah, but that's the power move, is you ask them to bring one, and then they get there, and you already have one. That's the move.
I don't want her to really paint. Just thought it'd be funny.
You're not going to paint?
No, I'm going to paint.
You don't want her to paint. Yeah. Anyway, the 11-foot-8 bridge is now the 12-feet-4-inch bridge, and they got another truck. If you're watching this, I'll show it to you here. There's a sign that says turn around, but they got to do it. It looks like he's going to clear it.
Yeah, it did.
He got
that bad. Piece of the truck falls off. Yeah. No, it's not as...
not as serious.
Exciting as the last one, but you're still doing damage to the truck.
It's just a little one.
Slide on through.
You don't want to shave it. Here's another angle.
He's going by slow. There's a new can over and nibbles on a box truck.
That's more of a shaving than anything else.
Yes. And
it doesn't live up to the hype of the old one.
No, but if you went back to your boss and said, it just shaved the top of the truck off.
Barely.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be as...
Yeah, do you immediately get fired, all my truck driver listeners? Like, do you get fired if you have one little infraction?
His
like
listeners.
I'm just saying, anyone who's listening to the show,
I doubt they would fire you for that. I mean, I would imagine
you probably have to pay for it.
You probably have to pay something.
Comes out of your paycheck or something.
I don't know. I honestly don't know, but I can't imagine they would fire you for that.
I don't know. Something with like my dad was a truck driver for a time, and so was my brother, and I don't know.
But they're insured too.
That's what I'm saying. But I think after you crash. You know, once or something.
Multiple times, you know,
you're
if it's
uninsurable, and they don't want to take the risk on you.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to get like a Tracy Morgan deal.
Yeah. Alan, you sound like Theraflu owes you a sponsorship. You sound like hot garbage, but I appreciate you coming in, you dumb liberal. You know what? When I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, something's going on. And I feel totally fine. But
that's what I had a couple weeks ago where I had that show where. There was one day I just had that voice, and the next day
you were knocked
out. All came crashing down. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Hopefully I'm here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I feel fine.
Start fighting it. Emergency.
In the interest of full disclosure, yesterday I was in the bathroom all day.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, good. That's usually how I process like colds.
Uh-huh.
Is it goes through the basement, not the attic, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine. I don't care about that. I don't want to be because I got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But when I woke up this morning,
many listeners would say you talk out of your ass quite a bit,
and they would be half right.
Yes.
But this morning when I woke up, I was like, oh, well, I'll sound cool.
Mm. Ooh,
except now it doesn't
rasp.
Sound so cool. Yeah, it sounds weird to me.
At the beginning of the show, it sounded better. Than it does now.
Oh, really?
It
sounds, it's getting worse?
It's getting worse.
Is it?
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it is.
Or maybe I'm getting more used to it.
You sound a little nasally, but not like...
No, it's got the rasp, but like at the beginning of the show, it just sounded like a little bit of gravel in his voice. But now it's getting a little bit more just tired, I would say.
That's right.
Yeah. They didn't raise the bridge. They lowered the roadway, somebody said. Maybe, that would make sense, too. But the thing I read said that they literally raised the
bridge. Wait a minute.
The
they lowered the street?
Yeah, because they can just dig it out. And
it's easier to do that, probably, than to raise a whole section of the bridge.
I guess, yeah.
Alan, crash or get truck stolen is a firing at my job. I've been driving trucks for years. Well, yeah, if a truck gets stolen, I would be like, Jim, could you come into my office and bring everything with you?
But you getting a truck stolen, I mean, it's got to be the situation where it's your fault that it got stolen, not what if it's like a master truck thief and there's nothing you could do about it.
What are you transporting that a master truck thief would need?
Gold bullion.
Gold.
Or soup bullion.
Gold.
What
differentiates a master truck thief from an amateur truck thief?
That would
Someone that can get away with it.
Yeah.
I just got
hours
to my
of
friend.
Experience.
Somebody could get away with it.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's,
right.
there's MasterCard thieves, and then there's people that are like, we'll just boost the car real simple because they have let the keys in.
But plenty of non-professionals get away with it.
Right, but I'm saying this is a master.
Mm.
Expert right. is 10,000 hours, right?
Mm-hmm. So 10,000 hours of stealing 5, trucks.
Hours? Master's less than expert.
I don't know.
That's a lot of Grand Theft Auto.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Do they show you the specifics in that game of boosting a truck
Probably.
Or a car?
I think you just do it.
I've played maybe 5 minutes total of that game.
My video game knowledge.
Once I heard that you got to beat hookers with like baseball bats with nails in them, I was like, I'm there.
When I heard you get to pay for hookers, I was like, oh, gotta get this game. I thought that was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like 13 years old. I'm like,
that was the lures that you got to pay for hookers.
Yeah.
The fact that you got money, you had money in the game, you had enough expendable income to pay for a hooker. That's what got him.
That's how you know you made it.
My video game knowledge is pretty much Guitar Hero. Like I said, a little bit of Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, but I only did that so guys would think I was cool.
So then what drew you to Guitar Hero?
My high school sweetheart had it, and we would play together, and then I got good at it. And
oh,
I liked
so you've been playing it a long time.
Well, it came out when I was in high school.
Right, but
that was like the big craze was during my high school years.
I didn't know if recently you had picked it up.
No, I had been playing that since it came out. And then I've just always had it. I've had the Xbox that I have, my Jason Mraz autographed Xbox. We've talked about this.
Yes.
I've had that since 2008.
Did he sign it Mr. AZ?
No. It's Jason Mraz. He drew a picture of his face. He's got a little fedora hat on.
He's got that stupid hat on.
He does.
What? He's going bald or what?
He drew him in a hat.
Yeah but is he going bald?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
Usually somebody's wearing a hat all the time, they're going bald.
Yeah.
Probably. You know who's not going bald? Mary Santora. But she did have a little, wardrobe malfunction. I'm just kidding.
Quit making people look at my boobs.
AlanCockShow.com.
They're not looking at your boobs.
They're trying to.
Well, that's a completely different. I mean, I can't.
Let them try.
I can't be mad at the hustle.
I guess.
I mean, they're trying to get out
now
there.
Now I am very self-conscious. I'm like trying to like sit with my shoulders forward. You know what I mean? Like, so my chest is concave.
In that Jabba the Hutt pose? That's a good one,
like
too.
Like this. So that way my shoulders are forward and my chest is back. So that way nothing is
popping.
I guess I didn't realize how...
Poppable the...
Yeah.
Maybe it's because... Are you wearing a more padded bra today?
No, I wear the same bra, the same type of bra all the time.
Just curious.
But I guess I just never paid attention to it. And I usually don't have this top one buttoned when I wear it out because I'm okay with a little bit of cleavage when I'm out, but with just you guys.
So this is a shirt with which you've got close to your 10,000 hours of wearing. You should be an expert in wearing that
shirt.
Well,
I normally wear it without this button buttoned.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it's like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's not as much pressure on the button below it.
Yeah, but then
you can
you've
see
got.
My boobs
I was going to say, that is full cleave.
That's why I don't do it when I come here, because I don't feel like it's appropriate to have that much boob out.
It's not that it's inappropriate, but if you want to be comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, like, I will wear it buttoned like this on stage, and then when I get off stage, I'll unbutton it, and I'm, like, talking and hanging out and
it's
stuff
the same
like
reason
that.
I had to stop. It's
but
the
that's
same
too
reason.
Much.
Same reason that the audience implored me to stop wearing deep Vs years ago, because I had the kind custom made that were. That
deep.
They were deep to my belly button.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they were like, dude, you gotta stop. And I didn't see the whole...
And this is pretty live stream. They could hear it.
He's actually talking about his pants. They were a deep V that went all the way down.
I didn't get the old, all the hullabaloo about it. Hubbabaloo? Is that your word, Conkey? All the hubbabaloo about it.
Hullabaloo.
But they...
hullabaloo.
They asked me to stop. And so I did.
You're a man of the people, Alan.
I try to be.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't always succeed. I usually fail.
I'll never forget.
But when it came to the deep V's to my BB.
deep V's to the BB.
Get it out.
TikTok, you don't stop.
My favorite ZZ Top song.
That's right. What, Pound Cake?
I said, I'll never forget. Right when I came out of the closet, I just wanted to have something gay and empowering. So I go to H&M and try to find the gay, because I wanted to gay up my wardrobe. So I'm like, what's the gayest shirt I can find? And there was this one V-neck shirt. It wasn't even a V-neck. It had buttons all the way down, and the button went down to my belly button. Like, that was the last button. I was like, so do I just, like, what's the gayest
way to wear this? Do I wear it all the way open, or do I button up some? Like, what's the course?
So is it when doing this? So it's when you
the top winner in the showcase is gay.
So when you first come out, is it that you need to telegraph to everyone that you're gay? Like you're sending up the bat
signal?
It's not
right? Even that. It's more. It's not for them. It's more so for me. It's like, okay, I've been you repressed this, all these yeah. years. You know, I was wearing the.
You're like, you know, this is a stuff
t-shirt.
You're like, this is a stuff I've been wanting to wear.
Yeah, I wanted to express myself a bit. It wasn't even like trying to get a man or something like that. I was just like, I'm gay now, so I want to wear something. I want to wear a gay shirt.
I remember like the first time, gay shirt. And this isn't the same, but I remember the first time I dressed like punk when I went to school.
Ooh, from Hot Topic.
No, because Hot Topic wasn't even really a thing yet.
Wow.
I mean, like, I had a Pennywise shirt and I dyed my hair black and I had like. And this is like Blink 182 punk, so mm-hmm. it's like, you know, there was dumb bracelets, and I took a lot of my look from the movie SLC Punk.
Yeah, and Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, so, and then I showed up in
spiky hair.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. some spiky hair going on, and I show up and my friend's like, so what's this? And I'm like, eh. He's like, wait, goth? I'm like, no, punk. He's like, okay, that's fine. Just don't be goth. And I'm like, why? What does that matter?
Just don't be goth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was around the school shooting times, like when mm-hmm. the first one happened in, well, not the first one, but the big one that happened in Colorado.
Columbine?
Yeah, Columbine had just happened, so you were really looked down on if you're goth.
I never went through any other phases than preppy. I was always...
I went through a punk phase.
Always in the American Eagle or Hollister. I know I didn't have enough money to go to Abercrombie, but I was at Plato's Closet a lot. So,
oh, I took all of my...
I was very preppy.
I took all of my direction, of course, from Gwen Stefani in the No Doubt days. So a lot of tartan plaid pants,
yeah.
a lot of striped tube tops. I was pulling it
belly off. Chain?
Oh,
do you have a belly chain?
Hells yes. Yep. We had the same cup size, so it worked out.
Yeah.
And boy.
You were a Harajuku girl?
I was a holla back girl. That's right. That's where we diverged.
That's bananas.
Because as I understand, she was not a holla back girl. Did anyone else see Mary's calf in her birthday dress? Almost like she's a real girl who doesn't have girthy burps. That's Andrew in Detroit.
Thank you, Andrew in Detroit.
This guy focused on your calf.
Well, if you want to see the picture, it's at Mary Santora Comedy on Instagram.
Right, I don't
you can't see my calf in that picture. I'll put the one on my story that he's talking about.
I don't like legs. To be, I thought you were being photographed with livestock. I was going to say, that's not traditionally a great look.
You want to look thinner. And,
Oh, there's a girthy bird.
And
there she is. Do you have anything flattering of me?
Sure. Yes.
When other people do it, it weirds me out, but I can touch my own.
There's Mary's wardrobe malfunction. It's very
I was trying to work my exit.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. The old sit and spit.
Do you have anything flattering of me?
No.
That's what I do around here.
A little
work to flatter people. That's right.
Now
I save all my flattering clips for Pound Cake.
Hey, I molest children.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to play this that time of year?
I'm sorry?
You have to play this time of year. Not too thick, not too long. It doesn't hurt as much.
I love that.
No, I don't have to.
Blah, 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 blah. I would prefer
this
those.
Time of year.
Because
it's the most molested time of the year.
Last year, someone tried to stop my paper. Bill remembers.
I do remember.
Stop called, your paper.
Someone called one of the events that we were doing, and they said that... you shouldn't be working with this
He's
guy
because
he molests children.
Oh, right.
And, of course, the manager doesn't know any better.
Yeah,
she's like, well, I don't think the station would hire him if he was a child molester.
Oh, we would.
What? I don't think so.
Mm. As long as you didn't do it on company property, right? Whatever you do in the privacy of your own home is up to you, right?
There's no kids in my home.
I don't think so.
That's not it?
No.
Keep the government out of my life.
Government.
Right? The
government.
There you go.
Well, I posted a picture on my Instagram story.
Of your
Mary
calf.
Mary Santora Comedy.
Of your calf.
It's just a little peek. A little peekaboo of my legs. I have a picture that I'm waiting to post of me and my girlfriend where our legs look killer. They look so good. I look like I'm 8 feet tall in that picture.
Do you flex when you take a photo like that?
No, we were just sitting there. Plus, I don't know if you noticed the shoes I had on, but they're about 7-inch tall stilettos.
So I didn't see the picture.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, this is the one of me and my girlfriend that I was that I'm going to post a little bit later.
Okay.
Nice leggies, little leggy and vivacious, as Alan Cox would say. But that's one that he's talking about that I just posted too.
And where was that?
My story. That's at the 9.
Oh, okay.
Downtown, we went and had drinks. Well, I didn't have drinks. My friends had drinks at the Vault after dinner. But yeah, it was a good night. We had a good night.
That's fun.
We went and went to Winterfest, and they did the tree lighting. Mark Nolan was emceeing the tree lighting.
Oh, he's out there,
which
boy.
Which was super cool. They had fireworks.
He's in the streets.
Santa was there.
You went to an outside tree lighting and that?
No. We had like street clothes on, went to the outside tree lighting, got ready for dinner, went to dinner in that black dress.
Took your Carhartts off.
Took the Carhartts off, got out of our little jumpers, no more wading boots, and we put on our slinky outfits, went to dinner. Had drinks in a day, go into the casino for a little bit. And then
how many gals at this fete?
Five of us total.
Five
my
total.
Two best friends, my two sisters, and myself.
How can you have two best friends?
We've been over this.
Because they're from different points in my life. Like, I've known my friend Kelsey, I've known since middle school. We've been best friends since middle school. And then, my friend Ashley, we became friends later in life. Probably about 6 or 7 years ago.
And you don't feel compelled to make them duke it out for the title?
Not at all.
Mm. She uses the term best friend very loosely.
No, well, I don't.
And again, I hear a lot of people do this. They're like, these are my best friends, except I just feel like best is a very specific
terminology. It's a Highlander position. There's only
school that you can only have one best friend.
I'm in the school of knowing what best means.
You can have multiple best friends.
You cannot.
You can.
A best friend has bested all your other friends in mental and emotional combat. You can have better friends. You go, this is my...
But they're completely different. Like, my younger sister is a different type of best friend than my friend Kelsey is.
That's why people say, this is one of my good friends, right? Good friends is plural. You don't say, these are all my best friends, because it devalues, whether they know it or not, it devalues that tag.
I agree.
So now you've got two or three people going, well, God, I thought I was a best friend.
Well, it would just be those four. Those are the four.
Now it's four?
Well, my two sisters and my two best friends. Those are the two.
Sisters, yeah, but you've used this term for me. You used it for
you
Mike.
You are one of my best friends.
And again, it means nothing.
See, I get, you're my gay best friend. I'm like, why I gotta be, why you gotta put the gay in there? Like, why can't I just be your best friend? And you're like, well, you're not my best of my friends, but you're like the best gay friend I have. I was like, well, thanks. That doesn't mean anything.
Right, but at least that is a separate demarcation. You're just talking about two, I assume, visco gals running around with you, and you go, oh, these are my best friends. There's nothing to separate them. Pound Cake's a gay dude, so if somebody goes, you're my best gay friend,
GBF.
You could at least figure that out. These are just a couple of chicks that you ran into over the years, and they stuck around.
No, you're making it sound so much
some
worse.
Some vagrants that you're like, hey, you want to be my best friend?
No, why?
I got a bunch of them.
Got anything to eat?
Good job.
You were smart enough to turn on the Alan Cox Show.
Sometimes I wish I wasn't so smart.
Even though your smart device could have done it for you. You'll get there. Just tell it to play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio.
Maybe not poop. How about blood? How do you feel about blood?
I mean, I'm okay with that.
All right. The family who is suing Starbucks because they said they got blood in their drink. Well, this is one of these things where you're like, okay, trying to get some money. I get it. But it's like they saw a bloody half fingerprint.
But it's like a zombie thing, right?
I guess.
It was around Halloween.
I'm sure you have a case. Was it around Halloween?
I read the headline. I think they were making like a zombie frappuccino or something, probably with... I'll have to find the article.
Well, they're suing and they're like, oh, and it had a real metallic taste to it.
Why did they lick a fingerprint?
Well, they're saying the drink tasted metallic, which is, I'm sure, something their lawyer told them to say. But trust me, a Starbucks drink is going to taste like, if there's a drop of anything in there, you're not going to taste it outside the coffee and the syrup that's in there.
And the sugar.
Yeah, whatever. But the family is suing because they go, oh, they served us a Frappuccino with blood in it.
And if it's Pound Cake's
blood. And my daughter drank it.
Pound Cake's blood, it's going to be just as sweet as it would normally be.
Because I'm just as sweet on the inside as I am on the outside.
Well, just because you eat a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's $5 they'll never see again. I'm not even happy with it.
didn't really sell it.
I know.
Bill and Pound Cake have already, we pulled from the punchline bucket at the top of the show. I have, as of yet, been vexed in my abilities to slip mine in.
I think we might, you know, we might have a lawsuit.
Who?
Speaking of you and I. Because I think that Facebook is listening to us.
Oh, we talked about
everybody. Yeah, everybody thinks that.
Listening through what?
Through our devices. Guess what I just had an article pop up about?
On Facebook?
Yeah.
What?
What are pimentos and how do they get inside olives?
Seriously?
Yeah. We literally just had this conversation at home about pimentos and olives, and he had to Google it, and we were talking at length about pimentos.
What are pimentos?
They're peppers. They're peppers.
Oh. Well, that's why it popped up, because you Googled it.
What, he Googled it on his phone, and it popped up on my Facebook.
Doesn't matter. Same
network?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Is that true?
Right here. Or
are you pulling that out of your ass?
I'm at the station.
No, when you Google something in here, if I like,
he Googled it at home.
We had this conversation in our kitchen.
They're listening.
We were making the only pizza we could eat on this thing we're doing.
Cauliflower crust.
Cauliflower crust with like some tomatoes and some, and I'm slicing up olives. And I go, because you can buy a pimento by themselves. I genuinely didn't know pimentos were a pepper. She goes, they're a pepper. I go, nah, that can't be right.
She's always right.
Thank you.
You know what?
Because I love it too. If I love you, mean hate, right?
First of all, I don't do everything. Second of all, it's a defect mechanism. It's a defect Marxism on my part because I know she's probably right. So I go,
but
really,
why can't I just be right about a pepper?
You can and you were.
I was, but I couldn't.
But I can take a second to Google it.
Yeah, but you don't be like, oh, that's interesting that you know that, honey. Let me just make sure that you're right. You're always like, no!
Here, let's role play, Gwen.
Okay. Who do I get to be?
You'll be you,
okay.
And I'll be Alan.
Okay.
And this is how you should react, Alan.
Well, let's do how he does react, and you can probably.
Everyone knows how I do react.
Okay.
The same way I react here.
Okay.
All right. Hey, what is a pimento?
I think it's a pepper.
Who told you that? Who told you that? That's the dumbest thing. A pepper? Why would you put a pepper in an olive? I'm going to Google it. All right, let me look on my phone. What is a pimento? It's a pepper. You're right.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah,
well,
that's exactly how, like, it's like you were there. It's like you and Facebook were listening.
Maybe I was.
Are you Facebook?
I think Facebook's listening too, and Amazon.
Yeah.
They're all listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Google. Because I got an email today from Amazon suggesting adult coloring books.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend, like when we sit and watch TV, she does adult coloring books.
Sure.
We talk about it. She'll show me. She'll ask me about different colors, but I never Googled
she'll
them.
She'll ask you about different colors?
Yeah, she'll be like,
what
should
about
I do here?
Blue?
No, she does. Like,
really?
She's like, what pattern she wants to do it in.
Oh, I see.
And I just always go with, I think you made the right choice.
Has the internet ever predicted anything about your life? Like, and it came true? Because it's getting scary now. Like, so you know how when you wake up in the morning?
Please elaborate on the basis of your question.
I'm gonna. Like the other day, this happened to me. You know how when you wake up in the morning sometimes and your phone will give you an alert, like heavy traffic in your area, expect delays or like expect snow, all that stuff.
Okay.
Well, I actually woke up and I was getting ready for work and it told me in big bold letters, you will be 8 minutes late to work today. Not expect delays, not heavy traffic, not heavy snowfall. It said you're going to be 8 minutes late to work. Just plain as that. And so I'm like, what? Okay, whatever. Well,
it just said this like as an alert, or did like?
Yeah, it was like an alert.
From who?
Alexa wasn't just like, you're going to be 8 minutes late today.
No, it was my phone.
Come hell or high water.
It was my phone.
Alexa throws marbles out on his kitchen floor and he trips and makes him late for work.
It was on Wednesday when it was like snowing really bad. And I'm like,
it looks greasy.
I was like, clearly, I got snow control. Like, I'm good. I can drive. Like, I'm not going to be late. I'm going to leave
snow
early.
Control, like the Prince song.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of Prince's B-sides.
And so I get in the car. I drive. You know, not too bad. The roads were manageable. But sure enough, like, there was a traffic jam or whatever. And I pull in my parking spot, and sure enough, I look at the clock, 8:08. I was like, how did it know the exact... I stopped my car and parked at exactly 808, and it predicted it before I even got in the car and drove.
So are we going to have to get to the point where that... You've seen the trailer for that John Krasinski movie where if you make any noise, A Quiet Place, the things come out of the woods and kill you?
That's
we're
creepy.
Just going to have to... we're going to have to communicate via sign
That's
language.
That's where you go with this?
So our phones and everything around us doesn't hear us? Yeah. Not that they're going to kill us, but, you know.
I just think we could just get rid of our phones instead of having...
To be quiet,
monsters in the woods murder us for sound.
I wasn't jumping to the monsters, but I mean,
that's exactly that was exactly literally what you just said.
That's the plot of that movie. But I said, are we going to get to the point where we can't say anything because something's going to hear us?
No, you said, are we going to get to the point like that John Krasinski movie where they come out of the woods and murder us?
Not what I said.
Nevertheless, audio proof of
she
what
persisted,
happened.
Bill. She's That's persistent.
Right, she just keeps on persisting.
She's persisting.
Yeah.
So persistent.
Yeah.
Very persistent.
Yeah.
Anywho.
I wish there was a monster that would come out and just kill all those persistent people.
So persnickety in their persistence. His family says that their daughter drank a Starbucks Frappuccino with blood in it.
Oh, I thought we ended that
conversation. No, you just started talking about something else.
We're on a tangent.
There wasn't anything else to that.
Not yet.
I was going to play the mother talking.
Oh.
If that's okay with everyone.
I hope the wood monsters don't come out and kill her.
I wouldn't give her a wood monster right about now.
Do you see what I was talking
just
about?
Just kill me.
So happy earlier. So joyous. And now back to normal.
She was licking the whipped cream where it had was sitting on top. It was on the inside of the rim of my Frappuccino. I thought it was, I'm sort of belittling. I thought maybe I'd be a little bit more at peace if they would have her tested, the one who was bleeding.
The intention was to always try to resolve this with Starbucks. And had they acted in a responsible way, we wouldn't be here today.
We're, you know, constantly double checking everything we get because now I don't trust anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been cherries, like the cherry syrup.
Hey, maybe don't give your daughter, your little kid, giant sweet coffee drinks. How about that? Maybe that's a good place to start. Wouldn't be in this predicament.
I was wrong about the zombie thing, huh?
Oh, were you?
Gee.
Are you sure?
But when you get home later, your phone's going to suggest that you buy some zombie Frappuccinos.
Or Zombie by the Cranberries album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was Ellie, though.
I can admit when I'm wrong.
Alan does, too.
I do, too.
Uh-huh.
He just likes to be sure he's not. Or that he wants to make sure you're right with
I just
facts.
Like facts. I like facts. If somebody goes, it's a pepper, I go, well, let me check.
That's not how you say it.
Yeah.
How does he say it?
I go, nah, it can't be. That's what I said.
That's exactly what
but
he
I
said.
But I didn't like call you an idiot. I go, I'll Google it. It's a pepper. I go, oh yeah, it is a pepper.
Oh,
I didn't
my,
know. Now I know.
My phone just told me the same answer you did. And
but
now
I don't
believe
you.
I
believe Google.
But why don't you believe her? That's what we're trying to get to the bottom
That's
of.
That's exactly what
How
I
long said. Would it take me to walk from here to Minot, North Dakota?
Probably like 8 or 9 days.
You don't know. So I don't believe you. I will Google it.
But I wouldn't offer you an answer to
But
that.
I will Google it.
But that's not the same thing.
I will Google everything everyone tells me. I have said things out
Why
loud.
Why do you trust Google so much?
Because it has everything in my little pocket computer.
But shouldn't you cross-reference it with Bing to make sure it's all
Nobody
lining up?
Nobody uses Bing.
But that's why you're going to get the truth from them.
I say things all the time on this show, and I'm full of crap. And people tell me on the text, and I go, oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks. Some people I'll respond to. I go, you know what? You're totally right. I screwed up. Whatever. But I will Google it.
What about Ask Jeeves?
I love you, honey.
Been so long.
What are ass cheeks?
Ass-treeks.
Ask Jeeves.
Oh, Ask Jeeves. What is this, 1996? Ask Jeeves.
Let me log into my Juno account.
Yeah, let me get my Hotbot email up.
Alta Vista.
I don't know what to tell you.
I think you're being turgid.
I almost snotted on that. You saw they're talking about Joaquin Phoenix to play the Joker?
Yes, and I don't think they need to make this movie. They want to do an origin story
for the Joker.
It's pronounced Oregon, Bill.
Oh, that's
different. I just Googled it. They want to make an organ story about the Joker.
About, like, human organs, or is he learning to play the organ?
He's learning both, really. Okay. He kills people, harvests their organs.
An organ story.
Yeah. So it's a standalone Joker movie?
Yeah. Mm. That's outside of the DCEU.
All right.
And they don't need to do this. Just like the Venom trailer, they're making the Venom movie.
With no Venom?
Well, with no Spider-Man. Yeah, and they had no Venom in the trailer. And they're like, who needs... this is where they're jumping... establish Venom as a character fighting Spider-Man, and then do a spinoff if it's good. But don't just do
movie. It was in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, but this isn't the same Venom.
Right. Listen, no one's going to top Topher Grace, okay? Mm. I don't care what you say as Venom. Not only that, but when they do these standalone villain movies, they don't make them full-on villains. They make them like conflicted anti-heroes or whatever, because you got to be able to root for them. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was going to play Hare-Lip Quinn, but that standalone movie apparently is not a thing.
I like that one.
Thanks. I like that one, too.
Unfortunately, that is not what is printed on my tiny little slip of paper right here. Still waiting to work this one in. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I wanted to respond to the comment that you said that you're full of crap. It's not your fault that you're full of crap. It's because you're on a radio station, and, you're way too intelligent to be on a radio station. It's your audience, and, you have to dumb yourself down.
Well, I've never dumbed myself down. No, that's what I'm saying. The audience corrects me all the time. It's got nothing to do with me.
You talk about words that I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, but... So then you're saying I'm too smart for you.
You're too smart for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. Yeah. I'm not... there's no such thing as too smart. People should be as smart as they want to be. Smart as they can make themselves.
He uses big words so people don't know when he's wrong.
Well, no. Plenty of people, they will tell me I'm wrong. That's my point. They'll go, you're wrong, it's this, idiot... dumbass. You know, I go, yeah, cool, thank you. Now I stand corrected, you know. But I'm dumb about a lot of things. Trust me, I really don't know much
about
anything.
He really is.
I'm a very, very dim human being, Mike.
It doesn't come across like that.
Well, I'm good at...
I'll give you a great example.
Here we go.
This is a good day for Gwen to be here.
Buckle in, Mike.
He once asked me why nobody dehydrated grapes.
I think I just recounted this anecdote.
Did you? Yeah. And I looked at him and I thought I was waiting for it.
Where's the joke? Yeah.
And I was like, have you heard a raisin?
But that was legitimate brain fart. Yeah, I got all this dehydrated fruit, Mike. How come nobody dehydrates grapes?
Yeah, you have no common sense, but you're like...
I think Mike has struck on something
radio
here. I'm just a dumb radio guy. I have no common sense, Mike.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't even know the raisins are dried up grapes.
Yeah.
Man, how come they don't have raisin juice?
But if you talk to Dr. Rogan, or the guy who does all the stuff about the penises, you're kind of on his level a little bit.
His name's Poundcake.
The guy who does all the penises. You mean Dr. Berglund?
Yeah.
Well, he's been coming in here for 6 or 7 years, too. I've just, by osmosis, I've gleaned some information. He gets asked, the same 7 questions.
Yeah,
so,
3 out of 5 people have Peyronie's disease.
That's right, or pearly penile papules. Yeah. All right, thank you, Mike.
All right.
Go get yourself a Word of the Day calendar, all right? Nick in Westlake.
Yo, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just going to say, I was wondering if we can get Gwen on the show more often, because she is hilarious.
No! Please. Everybody's against me today.
No, it's every day.
Next time we come in, we'll just have...
mm-hmm.
Ask questions about Alan Day.
Yeah, right. People can ask me whatever they
want. No, they're not going to ask you. They're going to ask me.
Uh-huh.
Ah, yeah, right. Get the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
The unbiased truth.
Yeah. Oh, it's biased.
Well, she'll...
All right, the fun biased truth.
Unvarnished truth. Yeah. It's fully varnished. She'll
for cracking me up.
She'll be in from time to time, Nick.
Well, thank you, Nick.
All right, there's Nick in Westlake. Loves Gwen.
You know, I always have said that Nick is a very, very woke listener.
Oh, yeah, it says the white blonde girl. She's very woke.
With her Starbucks cup. Chewing on my straw.
Yeah, that's right.
So woke.
Right.
Oh,
right. No, like today. No one fun. Ever thanks me for inviting Gwen onto the show. I just get.
I think he was just doing that.
Everybody and nobody think.
Are you going to Google it? See what everyone thinks?
You going to do a poll?
Yeah, maybe I will. So, can you not do Twitter polls from your phone?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
I try to set one up, but it doesn't give you the option to vote. Or yeah, do you not see the?
Oh, here's the question we were going to make a poll about.
I tweeted.
Let's just ask.
Oh. Well, I tweeted a poll.
Okay.
And it just had like the question. It had the two options, but it didn't look like people could vote. Or is that just how I see?
Let me look at it on your Twitter.
No, I deleted it because it didn't look like people could vote.
All right.
Is this the Kleenex poll?
No.
Oh.
What's the Kleenex poll?
We were trying to, when we were at home, we were trying to make a, okay, do you guys, to you, is a Kleenex a one-use item, or do you hang on to it for multiple uses? To blow your nose.
To blow my nose?
Like, do you blow once, pocket it?
Do you treat it like a handkerchief?
Yeah. If I'm blowing my nose, it is a one-use thing, because it's going to get a lot
you're
of...
You're going to annihilate it?
Yeah.
But do you do multiple blows per blowing session?
If it's a big enough Kleenex, or if it's one of the thick ones.
How big Kleenex do you get?
Sometimes they're bigger.
Like a blanket?
Yeah.
Like a roll of paper towel?
Sometimes they're like the ones in the longer box are bigger than the ones in like the little box.
No. They're folded like this.
See, I'm a one blow right. per Kleenex
but the,
guy.
But the ones that you can put in your pocket are smaller.
Yeah, so okay, there's okay. an example. You're on
well,
my
yeah,
side.
Yeah, I know. I'm,
yeah,
so,
you mean
I'm
like,
fair.
You mean like balanced. Glove box packs of travel
yeah.
packs.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, I understand if like...
I'm going to say I have used a Kleenex for two blows, and definitely if I'm just
in
dabbing
the same
at a...
blow session or
yeah.
kept in pocket for
no,
second?
No, not kept in pocket. Like, if I'm done blowing my nose, I am... discarding that. Like, I don't put a dirty Kleenex back in my pocket unless I'm just dabbing.
That's what I'm saying.
If I'm just dabbing my nose, like wiping it because I have a runny nose, mm-hmm. I'll hang on to it. But if I'm blowing my nose, it's gone.
After a snot deposit, it's
yeah.
garbage.
Yep. Yep. I one's blow, center
what
mass,
what about you? No, wait, I'm sure people... I want to know what pound cake does.
Multiple snot.
Same. Okay, yeah. So we're split down the middle. I was just curious.
Hmm. All right.
I crumple up one side and then go to the side that's open and do that one. Crumple that one up.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
By the way, it's no like paper. Like
you treat it like a hanky.
Sometimes
I'm gonna throw it away anyways.
You reach back in your pocket for some snot filled
no,
Kleenex
all at once and then like
and to get gross, snot like dries, so it's not always gonna be yeah. wet.
Why do I want that on my person?
I don't put it in my pocket. Like it's wherever I'm sitting.
Not like Kleenex. Ew.
He just made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when the old women, they put it in the cuff of their shirt.
Oh, oh no, I don't do that.
Here, I've got...
I don't either, but I probably will.
I've got snot from 1943
in
here.
I can foresee that happening.
Like, if I'm in my car and I have to, like, you know, dig in my nose, I'll have, like, a napkin handy in, like, the glove compartment or the center console. I'll, like, blow one, and then if I'm driving, I'm concentrating, I'll put it in the cup holder, and then, like, when I get to a nice spot where I can, like, stop, I'll do it again at the stoplight.
If I have to dig in my nose, he says. Oh, if I'm at
you
the stoplight and I have to.
With a napkin?
I don't have readily tissue in my car, so if
but
there's.
But do
like...
you pick your nose with a Kleenex?
Mm-hmm. You don't?
Like a finger condom?
Yeah.
Up the nose pick?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Oh, that's what I would do.
I want to use
my Yeah, if you
got to
get in your
finger.
Nose, you put a Kleenex around your finger.
But don't you just blow your nose?
Yeah, but if it's like a thing you're not going to get out, you got to pick
yeah,
it.
Sometimes yeah, sometimes it's stuck to the, like, the inside hairs.
I had a huge right. one, like, it all just right. hanging off my finger, and my girlfriend's...
Yeah. You had a huge booger hanging off my your finger.
And my girlfriend's daughter, who's 3 years old, was just entranced by it. And she's like, give it to me.
I'm going
to
throw
she goes, that. She goes, she's
yuck!
Goes, put it on my finger.
No!
Yuck!
He keeps his emergency bug-out bag in his trunk. Unfortunately, it contains only Pez, comic books, and moist towelettes. The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Guy got impaled by a lounge chair when he was trying to clean up around the pool in a storm. Stuck him in the throat.
Ooh, the throat.
Like a broken arm or something?
What?
Like a broken arm of the lounge chair?
One of the it flipped over and one of the legs got him.
That's literally
in his
that's
throat.
My fear.
It's like a blunt. That's blunt force.
It's your fear to get stabbed by a lawn chair in the throat?
Not necessarily a lawn chair, but I had a... Remember at the end of the school day, you put your chairs up on
table. We talked about this.
And then, like, those chair legs sticking up, I hated walking through it.
But they weren't sharp. They had, like, little discs on the bottom.
I understand that, okay. But it's one of those things where, like, you fall just right. It could go through your eye or your neck.
Huh.
And I was always really uncomfortable with that.
Okay.
So I'd put my chair up as fast as I could and then get over to where I had to be before everybody put their chairs up.
Really?
Yeah.
But you had never seen anyone injured that
just
way.
Just a weird fear that I always had, yeah.
Interesting. Well, it happened to this guy. If only this guy had called you, you could have warned him ahead of time. Gust of wind knocked him over while he was moving a lounge chair.
So I grabbed this Chase lounger. I was going to move it over
a
here.
Chase lounger. I grabbed this Chase lounger. I got a feeling it's Florida. I feel the guy's not from around there. But yeah, it almost killed him.
So I grabbed this Chase lounger. I was going to move it over here, and I was stunned. I'd been lifted off my feet by this wind. And when I came up, my jaw hurt, and I went to go touch my jaw. The laceration missed my carotid by 2 centimeters. I have a couple of guardian angels looking over me. That's, in fact, what the ER doctors said, too. It's scary. I will never, ever carry this or lay on it again. It's served its purpose, and I'll probably buy plastic next time.
You have guardian angels? Where were they? Like,
he didn't die.
They're lazy guardian angels. They got there at the last second. They could have prevented the whole thing from happening, but they're like over there talking to another angel, and they're like, hey, what are you doing after
this? What? Hey. So this guy, listen, you can believe whatever you want. And I'm sure he was being folksy, but if my doctor tells me, well, you must have some guardian angels looking over you. No! You saved my life. Mm-hmm. I love these doctors that don't want to take credit for it. I was reading a couple of weeks ago, this woman lost track of her daughter. Her daughter was out driving or something, and the daughter's car had gone into a ravine and flipped over or something, and they were able to find the girl's cell signal, and that's how they found her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, she must have had God looking. Oh, God's. I'm like, they got first responders out there.
AT&T.
Yeah. Don't you thank the cell phone? Why are people so reticent to thank the things that actually helped them? Thank God she had her phone. I never would have found her if it wasn't for that phone. That's enough to make you renounce your religion. There was no guardian angel lifting that car up.
It makes people feel better.
And also 2 centimeters.
Why?
Why
does that make people feel better? I would feel better with this in my pocket.
Because it makes them feel like they have a purpose. Like, oh, I could have died, but I didn't. Someone was looking out for me and I didn't die.
No, my phone pinged my location. It couldn't be more simple. Why are people so opposed to that?
They're not opposed to that, but people like to take comfort in things like, oh, I have a purpose. Not technology.
This is comforting.
It's deeper meaning.
If I were meant to die, I would have. I'm here now.
Some things just don't have a deeper meaning. So they found you because your phone pinged, and then there was a search party out there looking for her.
So that means every time someone does die, there's that you're supposed to die?
At that time, yeah.
That's so terrible.
Well, everybody's supposed to die at some point.
Well, everybody dies at some point, but it doesn't mean you're supposed to die at some point.
Yeah.
There's people that were just trying to enjoy the garlic festival that died.
You don't know who they were.
But they're not supposed to die there.
One dude could have been cheating on his wife with dogs.
You don't deserve to die.
He could have been supposed to die.
That 6-year-old kid could have been cheating on his girlfriend, too. Oh, not the 6-year-old, but the adults. I see. Mm-hmm. Understood. Ricky Gervais has a great line in Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the new season here, right? He's a renowned atheist, right? Hardline. An atheist. And he goes, people call me arrogant for being an atheist. And I tell them, arrogance is thinking that a God who would not stop the Holocaust is going to help you find your keys.
That's funny. That's really funny.
It's very true.
I know.
I don't know why people are so hesitant to thank technology. Like, listen, if you're a Jesus person, if you're whatever you believe, whoever you believe in, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But when this mom, I was watching the news, the mom and the girl and ripped, the truck flips over or whatever. The mom was like rattling off all the ways they found the daughter.
Right.
There were people looking and her phone was on. And she's like, we just give it up to God. I'm like, that's at the very bottom of the list you just rattled off.
Right.
God didn't care.
Listen, I don't know anything about God. I don't presume to know. I'm just saying that if you have just told me how they found your daughter, what, send those first responders muffin baskets or something, right?
I get what send, you're saying, yeah.
Send Steve Apple, Tim Apple, a thank you letter.
Well, and going back to the guy that hit the chair, you know, 2 centimeters to the left, it would have hit his carotid artery, and then 2 centimeters to the right, it would have missed him completely. Like, what the hell? He never says that. Like, yeah, I would have been real lucky if it just hadn't hit me at all.
Yeah. Because people don't think that way when they're in life or death situations. Nobody's like, well, I could have died worse, or, you know, or I could have been fine.
I could have been fine, yeah.
Nobody ever thinks of it like that because you weren't fine, you know? If you're coming out of something like that, you're like, oh, wow, glass is half full. At least he didn't get me in the artery.
I understand it's emotional, and I'm sure it's primal to some degree. Alan, couldn't you thank God for the existence of technology?
Aha!
No.
By creating human brains.
No, listen.
By creating human brains so powerful that they could come up with it.
I'm not even telling you to do that. Yeah, you can do that if you want. But, whatever. You know what? Do whatever you want.
Thank whoever you want.
That's right. Wrap yourself in a millennia-old fairy tale and tell me how much better you feel about it. That's just fine. And when artificial intelligence, by the way, which God clearly has imbued us with the skill and the information to create something that will probably murder all of us down the road because it just doesn't know right from wrong and only knows data and how it's compiled. So we'll go, well, I guess it was God's will, as the T-1000 is murdering you.
You saw iRobot, didn't you?
Unfortunately, I did.
I was going to say, that's the whole premise of why Will Smith's character is so pissed off all the time, because he was in a car accident with a young girl who had a lower percentage of living, so the robot saved him because he had a higher percentage. And he's like, any human would have known that was somebody's daughter, and they would have saved the little girl. And so he renounces technology, and he hates it, and
that's
he won't
go into
it.
That's what we're going to be up against. That's what we're going to be up against.
That's what you sound like yes. Will Smith and iRobot.
Well, but it's not him.
No, I get it.
It was the robots that we created that became self-aware and were doing calculations that far exceeded. Somebody, it was a great article I was reading from a guy. He goes, this is not an issue of killer robots. He goes, they're just going to get to the point where they're going to, the decisions that we have made over the course of mankind have always been imbued with some kind of context for how humanity operates. And they are not going to have any of that. So it's not going to be that they're out to murder us. It would be like if we saw an anthill and stepped on it and go, I'm not trying to murder ants. It's just inconsequential to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't play into
this. Is literally a speech that Ultron gave.
Of course. Because Ultron was like, yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah. I don't hate you guys. I'm just trying to, you know, create a more efficient system.
That's the only robot I want.
What robot?
I just wrote it on the board because
that's not a robot.
It will be.
What? Oh, 5,000? Yeah. The D-O-Matic 5,000?
Guaranteed to make you see or your money back. That's what I want.
You know they have F-bots already, right? All over Pornhub.
You can get a Sibian.
No, I want it to, like, go to dinner with me. I want it to wine and dine me, romance me, and then just do me dirty when I get home. I'll never need a man again. That's okay. If it ends up killing me, if I end up on, like...
Yeah, you're going to get impaled, but just in a different spot.
Yeah, if I end up on Dateline...
It's not going to miss your carotid by 2 centimeters.
I had a good life if I end up on Dateline from my D-O-Matic 5000.
Huh. All right. Well,
say D-O-Matic.
I don't know what
he wanted to write the word.
I don't know what he's talking about.
That's just the name of the model that I got.
Oh, it is.
That's the name of the model.
That's the name of the model. All right. Tom Cake with his D-O-Matic 5000 out there.
State night,
guys. I can't make it into work today.
Wait, you stopped. I gotta change the oil. Hold on.
It already put in 3,000 miles. He's got to change the oil.
Ah, that's right.
Does it work like a car? I don't know.
Take it to your authorized D-Matic 5000 dealer. And Alan is a bartender of 20 years. My irrational fear is slipping and getting impaled on the row of metal pour spouts.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, I would be afraid of that.
Because that's where the service well is where it's usually the messiest because you got all making all the drinks for all the rest of the restaurant.
You lean down and poke your eye out.
Or if like your feet slip a little bit and you just kind of...
Yep. On those
right
bar mats.
Belly.
Oh. I want that. Mm-hmm. Oof. Think about that.
That was
you ever had any bartender related injuries?
Well,
did you ever stick yourself?
The little speedwell at the Winking Lizard I worked at was exactly at shin level. So if I was moving too quickly and got too close, I would bust my shins like Ouch. On a daily basis, be bruised and cut all the time. My shins are messed up yeah. from that. Just because that's exactly where it is. Bam, 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 every time.
I was chopping down a bunch of foliage yesterday in the backyard. There's a couple of trees that have sprouted up, and I don't like the cut of their jib. So I'm taking them down, and beyond them, and a lot of times we'll wear work gloves if I'm using a saw or a chainsaw or something, and I was getting some smaller branches out of the way, and so I didn't have work gloves on and didn't realize that this huge plant behind what I was, I went and grabbed it, and it was a full-on thorn bush.
Ooh.
And I was like, that didn't feel good at all.
I hate that.
I hate
it. And you went in full bore, too.
Oh, yeah. I hate every bit of that.
When you have, like, the automatic dishwashers that got four little things that spin, the little...
Yep.
What are those called?
Jets?
No. They're like... Brussels is not the right word.
Bristles?
Yeah.
Dishwasher? What?
It's like a...
In a dishwasher?
Out for bartending. There's four...
Oh.
What the hell are they called? They're like... But you, like, wash stuff on them. Like a sponge.
The bristles?
Is the bristles the right?
Maybe.
Whatever. So there's four of those, and if you...
Like
I would
the steel
have,
wool ones?
They're not steel wool. They stick up, and they move. I can't think of the name of them to save my life right now. But anyway, if you wash like a wine glass or a champagne flute, and you push too hard, the stem would break, and yeah. I've gotten like cut through my hand on a broken stem before. That sucks really bad.
My last week of waiting tables, fine dining, before I went off to college... the racks
and
restaurants.
The waiting days of AC crumb catcher.
That's right. Yeah. It really was. But the, you know, restaurants, you got the wine racks, the wine glasses up in the racks, hanging by the stems. And I had pulled a couple out, and you're putting them between your fingers, and I pulled one out, and I dropped it. And I tried to catch it before it hit the counter underneath it. But as the glass broke, my hand came down to catch it, and I completely severed the nerve, everything, you know. I'm sitting back there gushing off my... Still can't feel the edge of my pinky from that. Which is a bummer, because there are so many things you do in life with the edge of your pinky.
Yeah.
You really want to feel that.
You're basically disabled.
Yes, of course. That's why I've got the handicap tag in my car. People go, you look fine. I go, oops, look at this.
There's a pinky right here.
This little strip here?
Yeah, this is not fine to you?
Can't feel anything. I can scratch this all day long.
I
see now.
I feel like most restaurant-related injuries revolve around broken glass.
I think you're probably right.
I used to break a lot of glasses. I'm just clumsy.
I was censoring myself, obviously, for pound cakes. The Dio-matic is not something that plays Ronnie James Dio hits well into the night, because that would be fantastic, and I would purchase one of those. I have a feeling that pound cake wants nothing to do with the Dio-matic.
Maybe he can play this song while he's doing me dirty.
His is the Dio-matic. Why does it have to be dirty?
Do you dirty? Why would I want him to do me clean?
You mean other than all of the obvious reasons? Why does it have to be dirty?
Because it sounds more alluring to me.
No one wants to touch my vagina.
Someone says, I want to do you clean.
Huh.
I want you to come out beautiful, sparkling, and pristine afterwards.
Nobody talks
afterwards.
That way, though. Nobody says, I want to do you clean. And nobody would say, I want to do you dirty.
Yes, they do.
All right.
He's living in a different world.
They do.
All right.
I want to do you dirty. I'm like, okay.
But I thought doing you dirty was lying to you. Or betraying you. Somebody goes, you did me dirty, Jake, like in the movies,
yes,
you know?
But
and
like,
then he shoots him.
Yes, but...
You want to get shot?
I wouldn't prefer it. I mean, it wouldn't be my preference.
I wouldn't prefer it. I mean...
Since when do you give him the option if he wants to get shot?
Since
thought that was just a thing.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get shot. But I'm just saying, if someone wants to do me dirty, all right, just be sexy about it.
Huh.
Say it in a nice little tone.
Triple brushes are what people are calling those. I don't know.
It goes in the soap sink. There's a soap sink, a rinse
suction
sink.
Suction cup to the bottle of a bar sink?
No.
Bottom, I assume they mean?
Bristles is the right word. Brussels sprouts was all that was in my head, and I couldn't get that out, so then I couldn't articulate.
That's not going to get your wine glasses.
I couldn't articulate.
Bristle sprouts. They're green, they're spiky.
Like, why can't I figure this out? There's like four of them, and they stick up like cones, and then they all move, rotate in different ways, and that's what you wash the glass on.
Alan, I worked as a hostess for less than a year at Bob Evans, Bill Squire's old place of employment.
Yeah, I worked there for a while.
One night I was taking a tray of biscuits out of the oven, lost my grip, grabbed it with my non-gloves hand, and my manager didn't know where the burn ointment was. Boy, there are those split second decisions where you're like,
it's just reflexive. Mm-hmm.
It's reflexive just go to rather than it. Just going, boop, not mm-hmm. it.
Because you don't want it to fall. I've done that before. Or I've reached into the window to get a plate of food out and hit my hand on the top where the heat lamps are. That'll burn you real quick. That sucks.
I don't want that. Alan, be careful. I know two people who got thorns in their fingers and had to have their hands flayed open to remove massive infections. Maybe? You know two people who had to have their hands cut open from thorns?
Sounds like you know two very, I don't want to say dumb.
Well, yeah, it could just have gotten infected. Right, I mean, I feel like if you get a cut like that, you should be washing it.
Right, it's one of those things where a lot of people, they don't want to, they're like, oh, I'll be fine. They try to tough their way through infection.
Yeah.
And that it's one of those, you could have easily got it removed if you just went to the hospital when it first happened.
Well, I also never know, like, when I'm clearing stuff, I'm like, I don't know what's going to be under here. I'm waiting for something to crawl out, you know. I got my safety glasses on. I don't need...
Sounds like Team Insiders is winning this one.
No, because there's still spiders in my house.
I'm out there doing stuff. It's great. It was 86 yesterday. No, it's
too hot. Too hot for that.
Oh, get your shirt off, dude. Sweating.
It was 80 degrees in my living room this morning, so I don't want to hear it.
Well, no, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working out, and I'm like, this is really hard today. This is really hard. And then I looked over, it's like, oh, 82 degrees. That's good. That could be why I'm struggling. It's not that I'm too tired. It's that it's 100 degrees in this freaking house.
I mean, outside is fun if inside is more comfortable.
And it is not in my house.
Right. So you might as well be outside.
What is it? Fauna? Is it the animals living in my apartment?
Yep. You have flora and fauna. Mm-hmm. Sure.
My stupid cat was playing with a jumping spider last night. She's just batting around, not eating it. And it was a decent size. It's just jumping in the kitchen.
I saw you scaring those kids outside your window. That
oh
was
my
funny.
God.
That was
so these really kids do it time this year.
I saw that.
That's what cute. I did on Saturday. I worked out in the morning and I was cooking and I'm not paying any attention. I'm just I have on my sports bra and some like workout pants. And I had the windows open in the kitchen because I'm cooking and I was making lunch too. So I had like the oven going. It was really hot in there. So whatever. And I can hear them playing outside. So I'm not thinking anything of it. And then they started coming to the window and, like, running away when I would look back at them. So I was like, okay, we'll play. I'm not doing anything, you know. And they'd, like, come and look. And then I'd, like, turn around and look back at them really quick. And then they'd, like, run away again. And then they started to get more and more brave. And the boy was coming, like, knocking on the window and running away. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna hide. And then when you see him, I'm going to scare him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I scared him. And he was like, and he, like jumped backwards. Yeah. But as the day progressed, so I got to know these kids, right? And I like opened.
Got
the,
to know them.
I opened the window and I asked them because I had water balloons from my nieces and nephews, and I was like, "Oh well, you know, it's a hot day; they probably want to play with some water balloons." But I asked them what apartment they lived in, so that way I could ask their parents first. Because I'm like, the last thing I need is one of these kids to have a latex allergy, and then I give them water balloons and they have an allergic reaction or something. So they told me where they lived, and then the little boy goes, he's like, well, I live in this apartment for now, but my family just broke up, so I have to move.
Oh, God.
That just tore you apart. He was
from
like,
a broken home, too. My parents don't give a crap
about
me
either.
That's
exactly what I said. I told him, I was like, my family broke up when I was little, too. I was like, it's going to suck for a little while, but you'll be okay.
You should have said, I'm sorry. These balloons are for intact families only.
But he said, my family
these balloons are for kids that didn't ruin their family.
Right.
My heart.
Oh. That's what he said. He was like, my family just broke up. I was like, oh, my God. So that's why I blew up like 60 water balloons for them. And then by the time I went to the bank
that
and back.
That kid has got the best scam to get water balloons from people.
Yeah, nothing hides the tears like water balloons.
My family just broke up.
Here's what made me mad.
Could I get an extra candy bar? My family just broke up.
So I gave them all these water balloons, and I know that they're little kids, and they don't get it. So I went to the bank, and I came back. And by the time I came back, the bag I had the water balloons in were just thrown by my door, which is fine. But then I passed little kids walking in. They're like, do you have anything else we can play with? Can you give us some more water balloons? Can you do this? I was like, that took me an hour to blow up all those water balloons. But
well, yeah, you complicated it for yourself. You got to know them.
And then they came back yesterday, and they're knocking on the window again. And I told them, I was like, hey, guys, I'm getting ready to leave. You got to leave me alone. do you have any more water balloons?
Well, yeah, you've become water balloon lady now.
I fed the animals, and now they're back. But then, when he said that.
This is why your parents broke up, because you wouldn't shut up.
When he said that, I was like,
don't know boundaries.
Oh,
you wouldn't stop asking for stuff. That's why dad had to leave.
It made me feel so bad.
How old was the little one?
They were 6 and 7. So they're young. So,
and they're old enough to know, like, I'm not going to see my daddy anymore.
Right, my family. I was like, damn. Like, that's some heavy stuff.
Or it's a little premature and mom and dad will make up and everything will be fine. Like,
probably
and
not.
Then they will have had all not. Your water balloons.
He had to move. I have to move.
I'd be like, sack up. I never knew my dad. I turned out just fine.
Oh, yeah. You turned out great.
Okay, but he's also talking to a stranger who lives underground. So that's probably.
You're a troll person.
Right. I was like, I'm fully the weird lady who lives underground right now.
Where did you guys get all these water balloons? The troll lady from down the hall. Alan, where is that? I was a male cheerleader in high school and college. I also played football and baseball. Competition cheerleading is hands down the hardest thing I've ever done sports-wise.
Told you.
Now, what Mary doesn't know is that years ago, I got into a whole kerfuffle with the former cheerleaders, right? People mm-hmm. were blowing up my phones when I said, cheerleading, feh. Everybody walked right into it. Yeah. They didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. They fell right into the trap that I laid, just like lovely Mary Santora fell into it here minutes ago.
Well, you know why they think
it's
difficult,
where they get very
right?
indignant. What?
You know why they think it's so difficult.
Why is that?
Spelling.
Is that what it is? It's all the spelling? Give me up. Arms folded. This is what I'm talking about. Arms folded, right?
Is that hilarious, Phil?
It is very funny how upset you are.
It's aggravating. I've been fighting
Why
this
is it aggravating?
My whole life.
You
accept it.
Not only that, but
it's
you,
not accurate.
You invite it by posting Throwback Thursday photos of you when you were a college cheerleader.
I invite people to be like, that's not hard.
Well, you invite people to comment one way
fine.
Or the other, and my comment is, feh. That's my comment.
There is a Wednesday night open mat at this gymnastics place. I want you to come with me. I'll go, and I'll do a backflip, and you should come. And so I just show you a couple basic moves so that you'll understand that it, how difficult it is.
I also have a question,
film
Mary.
Film it.
There's mats.
No, I want you to do it.
Why? What?
Feh.
There's mats downstairs. Feh.
That's my comment.
Feh. Until they tell you to do one thing, you're like, I can't even pay my body.
Why would anybody tell me to do cheerleading moves? I wasn't a cheerleader, right?
Right. I just wish people
In high school and college,
that.
I was a wrestler, all right? Nobody comes to me and goes, put me in a fireman's carry. Nobody
no,
says that.
I understand.
But the next cock's out.
Yeah!
$20 and Alan will pick you up.
I will.
Pick you up and guess your weight.
We'll go Greco-Roman, yeah.
You got a stuffed animal if he's close.
Yep.
Do the bigger bitches ever get to the top of the pyramid? Like,
no.
Do you guys ever, so they're always like the anchor?
Well, the
well,
men,
physics.
The
I
men
mean,
are on the bottom, and yeah. then mm-hmm. the girls, I was a middle girl. I was in the second row, because I
is
was
it
like.
Is based on weight?
It's it is because
I thought if like the way your formation is, if your formation was tight, you could fit anybody at the top of the pyramid.
No. Okay. I mean, you'd have to have really strong girls underneath them, but okay. like it doesn't make sense. When I cheered, I was like 120, between 120 and 124.
They're
is
not
usually
putting
where I
big
was.
Girls on the cheerleading squad. Let's
no,
be
there's
real.
Not going to be a 200 pound girl on the cheerleading
that's
squad.
That's right,
not
and
happen.
They should be. You want to prove to me that it's legit? You get a double deuce up there, and then tell me what's what.
So, double deuce.
Then tell me you get those soccer legs working. Then brag about your thighs.
I'm not
right?
bragging about my thighs, although they look great in my leggings today. But
uh-huh. Here's our ringer, Edna. Get to the top of the pyramid, Edna.
It never
Edna.
Happened. It's just too much.
Right.
I was always the one. It would be the guy and then me, and then we'd have like our tiny little girls. I would be holding them up. So I would have, I weighed like 120, and then I'd have a girl that was like between like one. We never really had anyone under like 100 pounds, not that tiny, but around 100, 110.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So the fatty on the team was like 135 then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a girl who was like 130 and nobody wanted to stunt with her because
aww.
She was too big.
Nobody wanted
you
to stunt
to
with her.
You have to throw them. You yeah. are standing behind the girl and literally
130.
The girl who's
it.
Behind you, they grab you by your waist and then you, the girl, you jump as hard as you can and then at the same time, the guy uses his legs and his arms and throws you into the air.
Yeah.
And the more you weigh, the harder that is to do. I mean, it's just physics. Yeah. That's all there is to it. And it sucks that. And this is what's given me so many body dysmorphia issues is that it's like 130 is a small girl. Mm-hmm. That is a small woman. And average size women are much bigger than that. But when you're being thrown in the air and you have to stand on people, mm-hmm. 130 is not small.
Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Oh, hey, who's this?
Bill, it's Wilhelmina.
Oh, hey, Wilhelmina.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I listen to the show. I figured I'd call in and say hello.
Well, I appreciate that. I was like when you call.
Conversation about cheerleading.
Mm-hmm. And how it's not really a sport.
Well, but I have to be. I have to say I'm on Maria's side on this one. Because it is very real, Bill.
Oh, yeah? Were you a cheerleader?
I was. I was the bass. They called me the ace of bass, Bill. I was always on the bottom.
Yeah.
That's right.
Got strong shoulders.
Who?
Do you have strong shoulders?
I did have strong shoulders. Yes. And I had strong thighs. And I had very, very, for my age, because I was, admittedly, I was a little bit older to be in college.
How old?
Well, it was returning education. So I was 32.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to get your education when you're ready.
That's right. That's what they told me on the pamphlet.
And what sport were you cheering for?
I was cheering for archery.
Do you remember how any of the cheers went?
I do. I said, B-U-L-L-S. Welcome to All Hood. Clap, clap. Robin Hood. There weren't very many good cheers.
It seems like it.
There weren't very many good archery cheers. But I was very strong.
That's good.
And I had very developed ankle muscles, which I have maintained into my present day. I'm very proud of them, Bill.
Well, that's a tough area to target, so it's good that you have that strength there.
Between my persistent diabetes and my ankle muscles, it is difficult to find shoes that fit. Nevertheless, Bill, I felt compelled to defend the people who have been cheerleaders. They are absolutely athletic, if not athletes. Athletic.
Thank you, Wilhelmina.
So yeah, you're as athletic as Wilhelmina.
No, we did different things, but it is an athletic sport, right, Wilhelmina? That's what you're saying.
Who?
Yes.
It is an athletic sport, that's correct, yes.
Right.
Usually, Bill, I'm 100% on your side. You know I'm even more than 100% on your side.
I do know that, and I appreciate it.
But I have to stand in support of all the college cheerleaders. Even though most of them on my squad, we call them a squad, Bill,
mm-hmm.
Cheerleading squad. Most of them were a good 15 years younger than me, but...
And how much lighter were they?
They were a lot lighter than me, Bill. That's why I was on the bottom.
Yeah, that's good. Did they ever try and lift you up?
One time they did, yes.
How'd that go?
It did not go well.
Did they use a forklift?
Ouch.
She has strong ankles.
It did not go well, Bill.
What happened?
A couple of them were... They had to be removed from the team.
They were removed from the team?
Yes, they were.
And why is that?
One of them had to be removed from the other one. It was a terrible scene, Bill. There was internal injuries, and it was the last time we tried that.
But did it get the archers pretty hyped up?
Archers, they don't like to be hyped up, as it turned out. They
prefer a quiet environment.
They did not like us there at all. So, we tried to do some of the more popular sports, but they didn't want to do it. Because the team was me and eight guys.
And you were still the base.
I was still the bait, Bill. You know, the memories make me laugh when I think about it, because it was such a good time, Bill.
Well, that's what Mary's always saying. She wishes she could still do it, because she liked it so much.
Oh, I'll tell you
what. It was fun.
It was a good time. I had a lot of fun. I can still do some of my moves.
You do the splits?
Accidentally, I did.
Splits your pants?
I did a standing tuck.
What's that?
I had to tuck a couple of things, Bill, when I stood up. I gotta, the memories been too, they're flooding back in, so I gotta go, all right?
Okay.
It's making me a little sad to think about it, but anywho, I just want to say hi.
All right, well, don't live in the past like Mary.
Don't make fun of cheerleaders, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll talk to you later, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
You're gonna tell me that a sport that Wilhelmina can do isn't inherently athletic? Please.
Boy, I have... I've been so wrong. How can...
Back to the Alan Cox Show.
It's a great pleasure to be back on the air again.
Okay, Google. Ask Alexa. Man, you can even ask Bill.
I just do it all in my head.
Oh.
Tell whatever smart device you're back in to play the Alan Cox Show on iHeartRadio.
I got a letter from Tia, who's number 314 on the blacklist. I was listening to the podcast. I love how Gwen stuck it to you about not making a big deal about your birthday.
Oh, yeah. People are big fans of that.
She's very charming.
How was the evening?
It was fine. I said, you know, I was kind of playing it up, and then you really got into it, and so I had to run with it. And she goes, well, I was kind of playing it up, too. And I go, well, then what are we doing? Tia says, while I understand you're not for the fireworks and the hoopla, I understand where Gwen and Erica are coming from, too. Years ago, my older siblings and I decided to throw our mother a surprise 50th birthday party. We were blunt with our relatives. It would be a small celebration because our mother's not too keen on big gatherings and seeing a whole lot of, quote, black folk. We might as well. Kate knows where this is going. We might as well have been talking to a stop sign. Thanks to one of my goofy-ass aunts, she happily spread the word out to relatives that we hadn't seen or talked to in years, relatives we don't even like, and nosy neighbors that just so happened to smell the cue on the grill. Free food plus drank equals black folks you don't want to see.
I know this struggle.
Our mother was thankful and appreciative of the party, but told us in confidence, don't ever do that shrimp again. There you go. P.S. Welcome back, Eric. Aww. So there you go.
This is what I know the struggle more than anything because my brother has been pressuring me. He thinks because I'm a part of like a media empire that I'm somehow like connected with the Illuminati. Like I'm just going to get all these celebrity guests. My mom,
does he know how infinitesimal a part of the media empire you are?
Apparently not.
All right.
Because it goes from Roverfest tickets to getting Charlie Wilson to perform.
You are the exhaust port on the Death Star.
Well, he's telling him he's above the promotions department, so.
No one is above the promotions department, Pound Cake. No one is above the law.
I'm sorry. It's Be Nice to Pound Cake Day. Sorry.
No, it's not. It's okay. It's fine.
My apologies.
No, don't worry about it.
Continue.
Now, did your brother ask you this because you were hot or famous?
He thought I had connects.
Yeah, I was like, wait, oh yeah.
I'm 50-50 on if somebody was trolling me because we just talked about it, or if they literally saw a window. Two people emailed me this morning asking for Roverfest tickets.
Wow.
I was like, delete. You got nothing to do with it.
Nobody asked me.
Got plenty of Stand Up Together tickets if you want any of those.
Same night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
great
all right.
Planning on
sure.
Their part.
Well, you got to have a plan B. Yeah. So your brother's at... Yeah, but it's natural that he would ask you for something. I mean, if...
No. Roverfest tickets I get, and I can get him those. That's not a problem. But he goes from Roverfest tickets...
You can get Roverfest tickets?
Yes.
Well, damn.
Because he's boys with Nats.
He's connected.
Yeah.
It's just sending an
email. By the way, it was funny. They were talking about you this morning. I was into work really early this morning because I had meetings about the announcement and everything. And so I'm punching around, and I land on Rover where they're talking about, like, I heard Nats. What did he say? He goes, hit up the afternoon guy who's gay, and I'm like, pardon me? Pound Cake's the afternoon guy.
The afternoon guy who's gay.
Who's gay,
there you
right,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have been talking about you.
Nats didn't hit me up. He and Pound Cake were texting. So what does your brother hit you up for that you can't get him?
He, like I said, he went from Roverfest tickets to my mom is turning 60 this year. He wants to throw her like a huge like birthday, like a spectacle, like My Super Sweet 16, except My Super Sweet 60. He wants me to get Charlie Wilson to perform. And he's like, I know you know some people in the promotion. Like,
hey, who is that?
Yeah, who's Charlie Wilson?
He's a R&B singer.
Okay. Oh. Second of all, why does he think that you could, even if you could get him, why does he think that would be free?
And we also don't even have an R&B station in our cluster.
But why does he think that that would be free?
Because he thinks that any level of media is a way in there. Like, oh, you know some people that know some exceptions.
But even if we know him.
But do you explain to him that that's not how anything works?
Yes, but they don't understand right. anything.
Well, no, I assume that he's a multicellular organism, and yes, he could understand that.
No, because every time I come home for Christmas, I told you, this is the same conversation I have over and over again about...
Does your brother think that you're rich?
No, he knows I'm not rich, but he doesn't understand why I'm not rich.
Did you explain to him why?
Over and over again. The same
right.
reason, the same reason why I tell him that, like, hey, you know, I'm not... Why am I working
and
all these jobs?
Why does he think that you should be rich?
He thinks that media is, you know...
It's all connected, and you can just do anything.
Yeah, I explained...
Right, but he does understand that there are levels just as there are in any other business, right?
I tell him I have earning potential, and it's just not enough for him.
Don't tell him that.
He doesn't get
give him a false sense of security.
I suppose, though, if you are somebody that's like... That is like Mr. Perks, or like wants to make all those connections, you probably could use this job to get a bunch of... connections and things, but
yeah, but I
but then you easy. Have to be that guy, and you're going to be known as that guy.
But I have a feeling that somewhere along the line Pound Cake planted this seed in his
why
brother's
do you
head.
Always think it's
because
me?
Why would a normal person assume that the phone screener for an afternoon show in Cleveland, Ohio has a direct line to the upper echelons of a media
people
empire?
People assume yeah. a lot of things why because would we're any, on the radio.
No one's assumed that of me.
People assume a lot of stuff because they,
no
they
one
think
assumes
that we're
that,
famous.
No one is. We're not talking about fame, we're talking about connections.
The
nobody
same thing.
No one assumes that of me.
People think yeah. that we're in the back chilling with Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kim, and
no
Kanye.
One
yes, they
thinks
do.
That.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They've heard you talk so many times about wanting
true.
To do that, and you've talked to your
I'm
friends
you guys
about
always turning around on me. It's not me.
It's your brother. Who else
I'm
is
I'm actually
going to
defend Pound Cake on this one, where people think we have more access than
people
we actually do.
People think we have some hookups.
Okay, but here's all I'm saying. It requires... simply one conversation to disavow yeah. someone of that notion. Why he would keep coming back to you is what confuses me.
See, my family's expectation is so low that, like, one time we went out to a restaurant and the chef knew who I was and offered us a free appetizer, and you would have thought that they rolled out a freaking red carpet for us.
Listen, granted, and a lot of people have pointed this out, The On Cock Show is the only show in America with an official horticulturist. That's got nothing to do with our reach into the, you know. I've never even been invited to the iHeartRadio Music Festival, and I'm the host of the goddamn show. So, after the first conversation with your brother, telling him how it is...
You just say, I have nothing.
Why would he yeah. come... Well, it's not nothing, but... Hey, can you get this guy to sing at our mother's party?
What was his name again?
Charlie Wilson.
We are good for...
Is he Jackie Wilson's grandkid or anything like that?
I don't know.
I mean, he might be available. It might cost a few grand, but you can... I bet you could find a way to reach out to him.
He thought I had that type of pool.
Why don't you just tell your brother that the Illuminati rejected your request?
Just tell him he's booked already and he's not available.
Right.
Just be like, yeah, we reached out, wasn't available.
No, because then he's going to be like, oh, well, can you get this guy? Can you get Smokey Robinson?
Tell him this
Smokey
is Smokey Robinson. Tell him this is the level we're at. You can get last-minute concert tickets that a listener did not pick up that are in the nosebleeds.
Come
that's
get mad
the
too.
Tier that we're at.
And
that's
he, right. he's okay with that because this is the level that we're on right now.
How do you feel about seeing Weird Al from Loudville?
Exactly.
I'm in. I'll go.
Yep.
And the tickets must be picked up at 5:45 on Friday. Mm-hmm.
He's going on a vacation. He's going on a cruise for like a week, and I'm staying at home at his house to watch his five dogs, okay? So he tells me all,
dogs.
Yeah, he tells me all the stuff that he, you know, I have to do and blah, blah, blah. And he ends that by, oh, and P.S., we need like such and such tickets August 2nd. I said, who the hell am I? Like... You give me all that stuff to do, watching your dogs, and then you ask me for concert tickets as a P.S.? I'm like, all right.
As a P.S.
But, like, I feel like I'm obligated to at least try, because he's the one I go to whenever
you're
I have,
you're
going
to try to get Charlie Wilson?
No, not Charlie Wilson. Forget Charlie Wilson.
I'd say try and get Charlie Wilson.
I mean, it couldn't hurt to try.
The tickets are not a big deal. I understand that, because he has no other pool. It's the only card I have to play.
But after you told him, why does he keep requesting things of you?
After a while, I think he's trolling, but like the first couple times, he was dead serious. Like he's dead
Charlie Wilson looks like one of the characters Eddie Murphy played in Coming to America.
Really?
Yeah.
he's old, and he's one of those, my mom would know who he is. Like, she would love if I could get, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Here's a clip of him from one of his parties.
It's a Randy Watson, yes!
Your mom would be, my mom would be happy if I could get Earth, Wind, and Fire. Mom, I can only afford wind. Is that cool? Wind is coming.
You don't even get Earth.
You could probably get...
I was going to say, you could get Earth, Wind,
and Fire. You get a cover band called Earth, Wind, and Fire.
You could get Carlos Jones in the Plus Band, probably.
There you go.
Or maybe one of the Bone Thugs.
Yes, you could probably get who's not in jail. Yeah, you could get Busy or Easy or
Crazy.
Crazy.
Well, I'm trying to get it to my mom's taste, and I don't know if she's really down with the Bones. But.
Well, she'll settle for what you can get.
Yeah.
She'll settle for me and my brother on the stage singing Boys to Men, okay? She doesn't care.
Mom, I got Earth, Dust, and Heat. They are Northeast Ohio's premier Earth, Wind, and Fire cover band.
I did a little painting over the weekend. Yes, thank you. If you go to my Instagram, you can see the actual painting. Have you ever painted anything? I haven't painted since I was in, like, sixth grade.
My wife paints, and she's quite good. I'm
not good at it, but I like it.
I haven't done anything since I was a kid, and I don't think it's something that would I assume it's something that's supposed to calm you down, or it's a meditative thing. And I don't think that would work for me.
And here's what I liked about it. When you're doing, like, I went to this, like, date thing where it's like the wine and painting thing.
Pardon me?
Artist Uncorked is what it's called.
Was this like a speed dating thing?
No, a speed dating
is
thing.
It all, it's single,
like,
folks?
I went with a girl on a date to paint stuff.
Okay.
And so,
is this a new girlfriend?
No, not a new girlfriend.
This was a first date?
This is a second date.
This is a second date?
Yes. Second date.
What'd you do on the first date?
I don't know.
Third date?
I guess technically this was our first actual date. We had hung out a few times, but they weren't dates. This was an actual date.
How many dates before she's the new girlfriend?
106.
So you're getting close.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at your painting here.
Yeah, so
the CLE painting?
Yeah, they give you a stencil, and when I took my stencil off, there was a lot of, like, white space in between it, and you had to kind of fill it in with black and make sure it was all nice, and I don't have a real steady hand when
Wait,
it comes
they
to that
gave
stuff.
You what? They gave you a stencil?
Yeah, like, it sticks on there, so you paint everything black, then you put the stencil on, then you paint over the stencil, and then you take the stencil off, and it's supposed to be a nice, solid black CLE, and mine was crappy because I didn't, you know, it's kind of hurrying and also drinking wine.
Yeah, it looks like it's burning down.
So that's what I did, is I made it look like it was, as I like to call it, because I am an artist, I call it Cleveland 9/11.
Oh!
Wow.
So you, in your meditative state on this date, you wanted to evoke one of the greatest tragedies in American history.
But I wanted to make it ours.
Gotcha, okay. Did everybody get the same stencil?
Yeah, everyone got the same stencil. Everybody else's paintings look like the way it was supposed to look.
Why did they give everybody a CLE stencil?
Because we're in Cleveland.
But you could, yeah, but we all know that.
I know, but that's
they
what
couldn't
we
paint
do here.
You couldn't paint whatever you wanted? It had to have a CLE in it?
Hey, they give you steps. They show you what to do. And it was very, very fun.
What did your date paint?
She painted the same thing. You want to see the, we have a side by side.
Yeah.
All right, let me
painting. Wow. Yeah, I don't find that.
It was really like just doing the colors and like making the sunset. I really, really enjoyed that part.
Okay,
hers is way better than mine.
That's the girl?
Yeah.
Huh? It's a cute girl.
Oh yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, she's a cute girl, very talented.
Blonde. You're going from blonde to brunette.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to unveil that filly?
I'm just dating right now, so it's just I.
So this is date three?
Date one. Because it's a bit, like, said, we hung out two times and then we went on a date.
This is your first official date?
Official date, yes.
Only 105 more to go before she's your official girlfriend?
Exactly.
How does she feel about that?
I think she's on board with that.
Is she already saying, Bill?
No.
Put a ring on it?
No. We're
you
not
sure?
doing anything like that, no.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I'm very clear about
all
we're,
right.
we're dating. We went on dates.
You're
all
so
right.
quick to judge my relationships, and you need
yeah,
to work out
yeah, but I'm in control
yours.
Of mine. I know
what
I'm doing.
You're in control of yours.
I went on a date. I like the date.
And I'm not in control of mine?
No, because
you're not in a relationship.
You're not in a relationship, and you're also not dating. You're going to bars
I'm
getting
dating.
Hit on by guys.
I've
These are not.
Dating.
Don't try. Don't throw
I'm not
a,
saying going to bars
Don't
are
throw
dating.
Out
you're
a
not
false...
going to wine and painting like I am.
Yeah, don't you hear the music, Pompey?
Don't you hear this?
Don't you hear the music?
How classy
this is
I
a
am.
Classy situation.
Go to Bill Squire, you get a good date.
This girl looks like a normal girl.
I hear music like that every time I go to girls. Olive Garden.
Wait, what?
I said I hear music like that every time I go to Olive Garden.
Which Olive Garden are you going to?
Yeah, maybe you should break off from the Olive Garden once in a while. Do what Beyonce said. Go to a Red Lobster.
I've never been to Red Lobster.
Really?
Never been to Red Lobster.
You're black and you've never been to a Red Lobster? How can you possibly try to uphold this stereotype, Pound Cake, if you've never been to a Red Lobster?
I'm living the stereotype.
You call yourself a good stereotype. I think not.
I'm living the stereotype because I'm poor. I can't afford a Red Lobster.
Red Lobster's not expensive. That company is, they've fallen on hard times. They want your business.
But I want to go there and get, like, actual, like, lobster. How much would a lobster cost?
I don't know. But you're going to basically a chain. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been to Red Lobster in 20 years.
Well, it depends on how heavy the lobster is, but it's usually around, like, $20 to $30.
Do you get any entrees?
No, that is the entree.
I was going to say, isn't lobster the entree?
I mean, inside, like...
No, they have a strict no sides policy at Red Lobster.
I'm just saying, I would like other things besides that.
How much are the Cheddar Bay biscuits? Those will be a dollar a piece extra.
But only because you ordered lobster. Usually they're free, but since you got lobster, you have to pay us per biscuit.
But doesn't Lobster Fest mean that you get all kinds of lobster for like one price?
Yeah, you have Lobster Fest where you can get like a platter of different lobster-infused foods.
Oh, they don't have prices on this. They have the menu, not the prices.
It's like I said, market price. Lobster's always going up and down.
Oh, here you go. Wood-grilled lobster, shrimp, and salmon.
How much is this?
Do you like lobster, shrimp, and salmon?
I like all three.
No, I like lobster.
You like live Maine lobster. Well, that's market price. Lobster linguine, rock lobster tail.
Rock lobster.
served with your choice of side. All right, you get a side piece with your lobster tail.
Oh, a side piece.
Side
for
piece
a
with
side
your tail.
Piece.
Yeah,
that's rude.
Well, you explained that you are kind of in this side piece territory.
Unknowingly,
it's $30.99.
Well, if I'm on a date,
you've dropped that much on buying somebody else drinks.
That's very true.
Yeah, buy them. Stick some lobster down their gullet. Then later on, when they're vomiting it up on your lap...
No, I want to be... I want to be wine and dine at Red Lobster. I want somebody to get...
Oh, you want someone to take you to Red Lobster. You're not going to take someone to Red Lobster.
I want to walk in like, wow, what a nice establishment. Let me sit down and have like a glass of wine and get like some...
And they're going to say, you've never been to Red Lobster before? Even before the rebranding? Okay. Well, there you go. They've got Ultimate Feast.
I just don't like how Bill's so quick to point the finger at my relationships when... You're
not
I'm
in
dating.
Relationships.
I'm
it's
not
a,
in relationships.
It's a false equivalency.
I went on a date
you're
where
you're trying to make your situation equal to his. It's
I've
not.
Been on dates many times, and...
I went on a date where I got to know someone better.
I did, too.
And we had a nice time, and we had a nice activity
not
to do.
Not every time I meet
and
a guy,
you
is at
go
a bar.
To bars and get hit on by dudes that have boyfriends already, so... I'm winning our
this
dating.
Okay, so first of all, I have no idea how we got back on Pound Cake's situation, but we
who had the gay date? That's up for debate.
Well, but was it her idea or your idea?
It was my idea.
Your idea,
because I didn't want to just go sit in a movie, and I didn't want to go and just eat dinner. I wanted to do something different.
Because it's your first date,
yeah.
You're trying to show her that you're a bon vivant. You're trying to show her that you're a man about town.
No, I just wanted to do something different, and I hadn't done that, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to paint some things.
How many people in the class?
I was probably like 16 or so.
All couples?
No, I was the only dude there. So honestly, if you're a dude looking to pick up ladies, just go to those wine nights. Like, get you and a buddy, go there, because I was
so
making
was it
two
of you and a bunch of single chicks?
I mean, I don't know if any of them had boyfriends. Like I was going to hit on the girls
I was gonna say, that's like,
while I was on a date, but...
It turned out to be you brought sand to the beach.
I mean, it was kind of that way.
Oh,
I feel
man.
Like I could go back and do real well there.
Right. Even without the CLE stencil?
Even without
think
the
you could
CLE
still do well?
Stencil.
All right. Don't want that to be your crutch.
Apparently, that's one of the easier paintings they told us, too, because they always have like different paintings that they
and how
have
often
the
do they do
too.
This?
I don't know, every weekend, probably.
Were you the only celebrity in the class?
There wasn't even one.
Was your date impressed?
Yes.
Okay.
And we had a very, very good time.
Pound Cake, why am I yelling?
Because you're still Yancey from...
Excited!
Yancey from...
I'm Yancey?
Antsy.
Antsy.
From the P. That got to your head. You've been on a... You've been in a mood all show.
I'm not in a mood. I took a sick day yesterday, and I don't ever like taking sick days.
Well, stop.
So I'm wound up. I know. I just don't like doing it.
Especially on a day like after the Super Bowl. I had so many things I wanted to say yesterday.
So...
Saving for today.
Many things.
If anybody should be in a mood, it should be me.
No! It's not about you.
Why
it's about
you?
Bill
Why
and his new girlfriend and taking her painting.
No, not new girlfriend.
His new girlfriend, Pound Cake.
Stop saying that.
What's her name? His new girlfriend.
He's not ready to say her
name. I'll make up a name.
Yet.
His new girlfriend, Denise.
D-Nice.
D-Nice.
D's nuts.
He just had to take something beautiful and make it salacious, didn't he? He had to take something, a budding romance, and he had to smear it all over the place.
That's my not girlfriend you're talking about.
He had to turn it into something lascivious. Was this an early evening event?
It was right after the show, so I got there...
Right after what show?
This show. So
after this show.
We met there at 7
Oh, because you bolted
o'clock.
On Friday.
Yeah, I bolted a little early, so... And I was
yeah,
still
you were
out
of here quick.
I just said that. So you had to go to the CIA for this?
No, it
Cleveland
was...
Cleveland Institute of Art?
No, it was in Lakewood.
In Lakewood.
Yeah. It was very fun. I recommend. Highly recommend.
This was a studio?
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? You want to give them a plug?
Artist Uncorked, I believe it's called.
Artist Oh, because of the wine. I get it.
Yeah, see?
Oh. Did you get your choice of red or white?
Well, it's BYOB. So you bring your own wine, which I'm fine with.
And they charge you for this?
Well, they charge you for the painting and the
construction. They're giving you a canvas and paints?
Yeah. Which are expensive.
You can get that at Pacatans for like $10 for both. You get a starter kit. What are they charging you?
But you also
bet it was more than $10 a person.
Oh, it was $35.
What?
Yeah, it's a nice racket they're running, but it was fun.
Yes.
But that's not bad for a date.
Did you say they gave you instructions?
Yeah, that they tell you how to paint. I had no idea how
to paint. Who doesn't know how to paint?
If they would have just put, be like, hey, paint this painting, I would have tried to do it in a much different way, and it would have been way worse. But they gave
Art is in the eye of the beholder. Who says it has to look a certain way?
You I do.
Said,
did you have to bring wine, though? Could you bring, like, any type of liquor? Could I bring, like, my 151 bottle and just do that while I'm trying to paint?
Yeah, I guess you can.
Oh, I would have got turned
up. You can bring
up.
Food and
you know, if you
anything.
Want to keep the joint classy, Pound Cake, yeah, you want to bring 151.
You don't even have to bring 151. They have paint remover already there.
Right, drinking turpentine back there.
Some people believe there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Very difficult to believe.
So our plan for you to hear this is working perfectly.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Kenny Chesney is 50 years old.
He is?
I bet. He's late 40s.
Well,
least.
I could see that, but Tim McGraw's like pushing 60, isn't he? Wow, Kenny Chesney's 51.
That's what I said. I was like, Kenny Chesney is definitely up there.
Good for him.
Yeah,
right.
I put them in the same class or group time frame.
Oh, they are about
yeah.
the same. Tim McGraw's 52.
See, I
had
told
no
idea.
I thought Kenny Chesney was a much younger man.
No. Those two, Alan Jackson, same. They're all in the same
okay.
group. They were
well
like
done.
The first, like the transition from old guys to the pop stuff now.
Yeah, I understand. As soon as it was started when Garth Brooks started breaking guitars on stage.
Garth Brooks yeah. and Keith yeah. Urban. I really, really don't like Keith Urban.
I'm but fascinated was, by Keith Urban. Why did an Australian,
is he, Australian
he
yeah.
is. Why did an Australian start playing country music?
It's what his voice sounded like. It's what was popular, is how he liked to sing.
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder what precipitated that. I mean,
know.
How many Australian country, American
him.
Country artists are? That's
know.
What I mean. It's interesting to me.
I really hate him, though.
Why?
I not him as a person, his music. I like, I think, two of his songs.
Oh.
And
I
hate
music.
His sound. I don't like the way his voice is. I don't like, he tries to do this weird, like, I don't even, it's not even pop. Like, he tries to put weird beats under, it's really bad.
Hmm.
He's not. Not my favorite.
When my hair was longer and blonder, I would be in a drive-thru.
I
would go,
Keith
anybody
Urban.
Told you look like Keith Urban?
Right.
I'm like, it's just the... I would say that literally the same thing. It's just the hair.
Right.
In my face, I don't look anything like Keith Urban. It's
when,
just the hair.
When Jimmy Kimmel does the Handsome Man's Club, however long ago was that? Did you see that skit?
No.
He does this whole
you
thing
didn't?
Of like the... It's pretty old. But Keith Urban's in there and they're voting Jimmy Kimmel out. And he's like, is it Jimmy Kimmel?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound
familiar. You didn't see this either?
What?
Who dated Sarah Silverman?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, yeah, so it's him.
Okay.
But
when he dressed up like Karl Malone and wore blackface? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Oh, that was funny.
It's like Brad Pitt and George Clooney and Rob Lowe and all these like handsome, it's the Handsome Man's Club or something. And he's the president, but he voted himself as president. So he like, see. And at one point Keith Urban's there and he's like, how are you guys going to vote me out when Keith has lady hair? And he's like, anyway, it's a pointless
story. I guess you had to be there.
You had to be there. You had to be there 10 years ago when it was on TV.
No, I just like Garth Brooks. He goes, you know what? Gonna stay fat. Mm-hmm. What do I care?
And he doesn't play his new songs.
He's got to match Trisha Yearwood, right?
Mm-hmm.
He, at his concerts, he plays all of his hits.
You said he's got to match her?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
She got beefy, too.
Hey, listen, she's pretty, man. All these guys have got pretty girls. Faith Hill looks dynamite. Mm-hmm. Trisha Yearwood's cute. Shania Twain. And she had a little something-something done in the eye region or something, but she saw her in Broad City.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that girl in 10 years before Broad City.
She's great.
I don't know anything about her music, but...
I used to make up dances to her songs with my girlfriend in her basement.
Yeah, these are people I like to watch their videos on mute. Because I see what you look like, and I enjoy that immensely. Don't need to hear what's...
You don't want to hear about how she feels like a woman?
I think I can handle a female country artist before I can... I'd rather hear a female sing in general, I think. But I... male country artists, to me, I find it very effeminate. Which is ironic, because they're supposed to be the exact opposite of that. I find men singing country music currently in the pop environment to be very effeminate.
How? In the way that they sound or in what they're saying? You're not listening to what they're saying.
Well, they're all saying the same thing. But, I mean, mm-hmm. they all... Again, I don't have the trained ear for it, you know, so whereas you could pick all of them out,
mm-hmm.
but if I laid six hard rock bands in front of you, you'd have no clue.
Right.
Whereas I could tell you, it's just the untrained ear.
Right.
But it's not, my wife loves it, mm-hmm. you know, she's right there with you.
Yeah.
But it's, whatever, do whatever you want. But Keith Urban is singularly interesting to me, because I'm like, how did an Australian guy decide to become... not decide to be, but a big country music star in the United States.
Well, I don't think, I mean, yes, to a certain degree you can change your voice and what you sound like, but if that's just the sound that comes out when he sings, and
but
that's the
like
type
they
of fans
all make
that listen
it sound
to.
Like that. Like, nobody actually sounds like honk a pank, tonk,
Keith,
and do.
Okay.
No, he's from New Zealand.
I don't even want to listen to you talk about it, because you have no clue what you're talking about, first
Wait
of all.
Wait a second.
Honk a tank and do.
I want to hear what the rest of his honky tonk pants song is about. This is it honky tonk pants?
Honk
is that
a
what
donk.
It was
honk a donk.
Honk a donk pants a do.
Honk a donk pants a do.
Flagwetter.
You're trying to tell me you don't want to hear what honk a donk pants a do is about?
No.
Because I sure do.
I don't care.
Honk a donk pants a do.
But he wants to put you in his car and pull the windows down and whatever he says. So I want to put you in my car and drive and turn you up real loud.
You sound there, like
I don't know what either of these guys are saying.
Honk a donk a bank a do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're saying.
It's just he wants to put her in a song.
So Keith Urban does four singles that hit big in Australia mm-hmm. before he comes to the States.
He's in New Zealand, though.
I understand. He's a New Zealander, but he moves to Australia because we all know they're interchangeable. And so, yeah, he was a big Dire Straits fan and a big Fleetwood Mac fan. So I'm curious why he starts doing country music. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you're from Fayetteville, Arkansas, I get why you want to break out and be a country star.
Arkansas.
Right.
But Keith Urban's interesting to me.
I don't like him.
He's 51, too.
They're all in that group.
All these guys are older than me.
Alan Jackson, Tim McGraw, Kenny Chesney,
well,
Keith
Jackson,
Urban.
Jackson, I feel like he's like old wave of...
He's
the honky-tonk badonkadonk right guy, right?
No.
No, that's Lukey Bry.
No, Honky Donk Badonkadonk, I thought was, that was, who's the guy with the bar? Toby Keith.
Toby Keith.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Honky Tonk Badonkadonk?
He's so much.
Why do you get mad when he
because
talks about
he's
it?
Annoying.
Also, why do you think that...
Why is it you're only... He's annoying because you're... Trace Adkins was Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Oh, I don't
you
know.
You don't even know them.
No,
you can't
know.
Even tell them apart. That's my
no,
point.
No, I just don't know.
You
that's
just proved my whole
me.
Point.
That was like 1994 that song came out.
Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
It was 2005. I was not old.
How old were you?
In 2005, I was 16.
Yeah, right in the wheelhouse. Yeah,
but I wasn't
dumbass
listening to this music when I was 16. This is within like the last 10 years that I've, not even 10 years, that
all
I've been
right.
into country music.
Do you feel like it's a phase and eventually you'll grow out of it?
I feel like I'm done talking with you about it, to be honest.
Why does he annoy you about it
because
so much?
Because he... He will make fun of everything that he doesn't like, but the minute you say anything about something that he enjoys, he's like, well, you just don't get it. That's just not how it is. That's
no,
just,
what?
That's not what it is.
He's very, I find him to be very open. I'll show you. Bill,
yeah.
Do you know that Coheed and Cambria sucks?
How dare you? They're the greatest band of all time, and you just don't get it, Alan.
I liked them better when they were called Rush.
I like the way you talk about my favorite band.
Bet you won't throw that water bottle.
I mean, listen, I could deal with Coheed or Cambria. I don't need them both,
it's
Bill.
It's a package.
It's overkill. I don't need... When is Cambria going to do a solo album? See? He's fine. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get upset.
You're right.
Good gravy from KFC. What's going on around here? I think it's started...
Sorry, you like this bad music.
You do take it very personally, though.
I just get very annoyed.
But it's because people take music personally.
Yeah,
now.
Because Mister, why can't I just like what I like? Wants to lay into everybody else about the things that they like. But the minute,
and I like what I like, and I don't care what people.
Why do
think.
I have to go outside? I want to be a basement person for my life and get
a basement person.
So you're making fun of me, and I'm laughing at it.
I know.
Nothing would make him happier than to be in the basement listening to Coheed and Cambria.
Listen, there's a basement unit available in my building, and don't think I haven't thought about it.
A basement unit. Hey, would you ever consider moving into the, since you enjoy basement apartments, would you ever consider moving into the basement of his building?
No.
He's up in the penthouse, you're down in the basement?
No.
Started at the bottom, and now you're at the
Still
same
there.
Place? Yeah.
Just paying twice as much in rent.
Sure.
Spiders, though.
A spider.
You don't know that. I don't need two bedrooms. I'm one person.
Yeah, people take music very personally, which I understand because...
Oh, it's fun to troll people about their music, too. Like,
I find like it's shooting fish in a barrel. But getting, it's not like, fun, though.
Getting people worked up about Taylor Swift is funny.
But they're 17 years old.
Not anymore. They're 30 now.
Yeah, but she still has teenagers who like
her. Yeah, but there's
her
a lot
themes
of...
are universal for that time in your life, you know? That's why I was amazed that she's going to be 30 this year, because I still think of her as being, you know, 22. But people, I understand that, like, music means something specific to different people, but the fact that so many people take criticism of what they like so personally. Like, people bust my balls about Steely Dan, right? I get where they're coming from. I just happen to love Steely Dan, right? Consummate musicians. I like musicians. So, but I don't take it personally.
I just get annoyed at him. Everybody else hates country music, too, but it's the fact that he's all...
Why is that, though?
Because he's like, let me do what I want. Why can't I like what I want? Why do I have to do this? And then the minute country music comes up, he's like, okay, crap, flag wearer. I love country. You're an idiot. And it's like, why can't I just like what I like?
You're an idiot.
Understand.
Crap, flag wearer.
Why can't I just like what I like?
You can like what you like.
I can't.
Honestly, yeah, that little thing got me like...
He's not coming around. He's not stopping you from liking what you like.
I think they pander a lot in it, and that's what bothers me.
We've
so
been
I
over this 100 times. Any person with a fan base is not pandering. They are doing what they is true to them, and they found people who also feel that way. Mm-hmm. It's not pandering when you've built a fan base who also agrees with you.
Listen, there are a lot of people.
Friggin' crazy when
there
he says
are
that.
A lot of people, and I've met some of them, right? There are a lot of people who do their drinking on Saturday, their church on Sunday, and they go down to the creek and pop a cold one in the truck and look up at the stars with their gal in the flatbed. There's a lot of people who do that.
There's some that I like. I like Chris Stapleton.
Mm-hmm.
I like his stuff.
I know.
Wheeler Walker Jr., very good.
Jesus Christ.
Shooter Jennings.
I like outlaw country. I like old country a lot. It's just the pop country I don't like. And there's a lot of people that don't like it.
I know.
You like it, and it's fine. It's fine that you like that bad music.
That's fine. Let me like when I like. Why do I have to conform?
Do this.
That's what you say anytime I question you on anything. Anytime any of us, why do I have to stay at a concert if I don't want to be there?
Right. But I don't,
so why do I have to listen to
music? I don't get defensive. I'm going to leave or leave.
You get defensive.
I just go, no, I'm going to leave.
You put your arms on your... and you huff and you puff like a 2-year-old who wants a toy that you didn't get. You're hypocritical and I don't enjoy
it. He wants those Coheed and Cambria action figures and nobody will get them for him. Hey, Will.
For myself.
Yeah.
What's going on, Will?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I like all genres of music. You know, there's a lot of good stuff in all different types of different aspects of music. But country music, it has to be by far the worst. And the reason is that most people love it is because society's becoming so dumb that it's so simple to them to understand. So it's basically simple-minded people only like...
Yeah, but Will, I mean, in their slight defense, I mean, rock and roll isn't exactly the domain of rocket scientists. I mean, you know, it's a lot of dummies making rock and roll music. It's four chords.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Like, I went to the Korn concert a couple weeks back.
Yeah, you sound like a real scholar.
Yeah, no, it was actually really, really good. And I enjoyed it, you know. But the talent there is with the guitaring and everything else and the way it's orchestrated, it's perfect.
You gotta like the guitaring in a certain way.
Yeah, country music is just so simple. It's just too easy. It's easy to listen to. It's easy on the brain. It's so simple. People love
it. I would disagree. I don't think it's easy to listen to for me. It just depends on what you like.
I agree with you.
But there are accomplished guitar players in country music, right?
For sure,
Isn't Garth Brooks like... And they're not up there shredding because the music doesn't call for it.
Zac Brown Band, Chris Stapleton, there's plenty of them.
It's no Buckethead up there or nothing, but, you know, I can't listen to country music. It's just too... It doesn't intrigue my brain, I guess.
Well, thank God there's different kinds of music that we can all dig. And hey, Will, have you ever heard of Coheed and Cambria?
No, I have not.
I'll tell you what.
I'm not a Rush fan either.
You should check them out. Well, there you go. Will and like country music.
Great.
Doesn't like Rush.
No, they're not for everybody.
Greg.
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
What's going on?
Hey, you mentioned earlier that you like musicians and all that, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a band called Ween?
Ween. No, yeah, never heard of Ween.
You should look them up sometime. But
all right, I will check them out.
You never heard of Ween?
I haven't.
That's weird. No.
Thank you, Greg. I'll check them out though. It's,
Ween did a country album.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up this morning, happy as could be. Looked out my window, and what did I see? Now coming up my sidewalk, just as plain as day. Well, here come trouble that I never thought I'd see when you went away. Hello, trouble, come on in. You talk about heartaches, where in the world you been? The miseries since you've been gone. Hello, trouble, 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 welcome home.
So he's singing about heartache and significant others.
This is not the music I listen to.
No, this is... I like this.
Yeah, this is what you're into, unironically?
Yeah.
I'm not being ironic.
I'm not being ironic either.
We'll
I like
make
it.
A pot of coffee.
Singing about coffee.
And you can rest your shoes.
And shoes.
And you can tell me them sweet lies.
About lies.
And I'll listen to you.
And ears.
For I'm just a little part of all the life you've lived. But I'd rather have a little bit of trouble than to never know the love you give.
Hello, trouble. 1962. Buck Owens and his Buckaroos. You don't like this?
No, I mean, it's not that I don't like it, but this isn't...
You're singing about all the stuff you like, shoes and ears. And...
Yeah, I love all that. Trouble and lies, yes.
Trouble and lies. Put on a pot of coffee.
In your hot steamy pot.
Hot steamy pot. A lot of people I've heard from over the past couple of days that they have joined the show In and Out and subsequently missed Darnell's theme song to Everybody Loves Mare. And I don't want to overplay it because... you know.
Is it going to be in a sum of this week?
This week? I think it was in last weekend's.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, too soon for a sum of. I play older clips for sum of.
Got it.
On Thursday and Friday. But for people who have asked me to play it because they haven't heard it, I'm happy to oblige. Darnell's, where is it? Theme song for Everybody Loves Mare. Oh, there it is.
Which is the... my period piece that
sitcom.
Airs, sitcom that airs once a month, where I'm a pioneer lawyer With a horse.
With a horse sidekick.
A horse sidekick.
And the crazy thing about this is, Bill and I have been tweaking the script, because there was some confusion as to the nature of the horse. The you don't ride the horse. You ride a different horse.
Right.
That horse is your sidekick.
Correct.
Right. Right.
Two horses.
Right. One you ride.
Right.
So
one's just a horse.
So second season. Well, they're both just horses, but one of them you have a special rapport with.
Correct. Same one's just a horse, and one's a mare. They're different.
Right. Yeah, right. And so second season, we've already kind of sketched out. There's going to be some narrative tension between the two horses, because one is like, why are you her pal, and I'm just her conveyance, right? Something along those
lines. It's like the way Goofy was Mickey Mouse's friend, but Pluto was his dog.
That's right.
Right.
Goofy's a dog.
Right.
Right.
Why is he dressed up in stripy shirts, and Pluto's running around
with
a collar
buck
on.
Naked, tail wagging?
Similar.
Very similar.
Not your average lawyer, but she is very hot. She knows how to cook up on her hot and steamy pot. With her horse, you know she likes to ride him everywhere. Look out for this pioneer, everybody loves Mare. Everyone says that she's the greatest lawyer in the West. And every day she likes to dress up in her Sunday best. When there's trouble in the West, you better call her if you dare. Look out for this pioneer, everybody loves Mare. Look out for this pioneer, everybody loves Mare. Yeehaw!
Oh, got me in the front butt!
Sound like that you like to tweet.
What?
Someone call me a big, damn, goofy-ass 12-year-old.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I'm not a big...
Wait a second. You're mad because she liked a tweet where somebody called you a big, dumb, goofy-ass 12-year-old?
Big, damn, goofy-ass
12-year-old. Why do you care?
I wouldn't like a tweet where someone was calling Mary
a dumb bitch?
A dumb bitch or something like that.
Oh, yeah, you've never condoned that. Not one time in our
whole
friendship.
Well, when it was a bit, I would, but now it's not a thing anymore.
She's doing goofy. A bit where you're a big, dumb, goofy 12-year-old.
I'm not a big, dumb, goofy 12-year-old. I didn't take that as an insult at all.
Very much as an insult.
I took it as, like, big, dumb, goofy is, like... You big dumb goof.
What
like,
did we say about it. Twitter? Don't let strangers ruin your day. Why would you ever let a stranger ruin your day?
I'm not letting a stranger.
He's mad that I liked it.
One of my best friends ruined my day, Alan.
Well, maybe you should.
My day's not ruined.
Maybe you should reconsider that status.
That's right.
Maybe she needs to be demoted to...
Regular friend.
Regular friend.
Coworker, even.
Listen, you guys don't have to contend with the texts I get, where every time you guys argue, everyone believes you guys had sex, and that's why you're arguing.
That's why
like, that's the only reason a guy and a woman would ever be at each other's throats is because they had sex.
Hey, the Alan Cox Show is back. Take your beer off your smart device and tell it to play 100.7 WMS on iHeartRadio.
Guy busts into his teenage daughter's room, and she's got a guy in there. Did you see this story?
Yeah. No. But this
you
is
sent
terrifying.
Me this story.
Yes.
Okay.
It's pretty insane.
Erica sent me this. This guy busts into his daughter's bedroom, and there's a kid in there. A good-looking kid, like a kid, a good student, and yeah.
Yeah.
17-year-old Joran McCormick. The kid is in the girl's bedroom. The dad's got a gun. The daughter freaks out, clearly scared of her dad, says she doesn't know the kid.
Ooh.
Rather than say, oh, I had him over here, dad shoots him dead. And then she starts crying and says she lied. Too late, kid's dead. So this guy said about 3 a.m, one of his other kids woke him to tell him that someone was inside their house. So he busts into the girl's bedroom. She says, I don't know the guy. The dad calls 911. The kid starts arguing with the dad. Like, I'm like the boyfriend or whatever. And the dad shoots him in the head.
See, that dad might have overreacted.
The
you
girl,
gotta know when your kids are lying. You have to know that your kid is...
Well,
if she's not freaking out...
Forget that. It's a kid. You're going to shoot a kid in the head?
Yeah.
Even if he was trying to break in or whatever, you're just going to shoot him?
And by the way, this is not... and maybe this is my thing, But I initially assumed something racial.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody in this story is black. Black dad, black daughter, black kid.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's some white guy who went trigger happy and, you know. So then later the daughter goes, oh, I knew him. She comes clean. The kid's family now wants the daughter charged with something because her lie is what got the dad
so incensed.
So they take the dad to the hospital that night. This happened a couple of weeks ago, I think. But it's kind of the whole story is kind of starting to roll out.
But why? I don't understand why you shoot the person when you have a gun on them. They're not going to try anything.
Say, get out, climb out the window, whatever, yeah. Break up with the, you know. And if your daughter, your daughter's right there with the kid in the room and she's going to just maintain the whole time that she doesn't know him. And the kid's clearly like,
I have no idea what she's talking about. This is my girlfriend.
I know your name. Why am I calling you by your name if you don't know me?
I don't even know Kevin. I don't know him.
Yeah.
I don't know Kevin Blackwell. Why would I know him?
So, so now his family, understandably very upset and mourning. This is in Houston. The mother, Zakiya McCormick, and Houston community activist Quanell X are calling for charges to be filed against the daughter.
He's actually the 10th one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Quanell the 10th. Hey, listen, if you want cred as a community activist, I think history dictates you got to have an X in there somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a Shabazz. I think a Shabazz works, too. Wait, that's not the wine, is it?
No, that's Shiraz.
Oh, Shiraz, gotcha. Shabazz was Tupac's mom.
Shiraz works well on white women.
Okay, good. Betty Shabazz, Tupac's mom. Maybe that's who I'm thinking of. So this poor kid's dead and, you know, hardly a gangbanger. Like, the kid was running around wearing, like, Marilyn Monroe T-shirts.
Yeah, and the picture of all the friends that gathered for his funeral.
Yeah.
I mean, all different races, all different types of kids. He was clearly a popular kid, well-liked.
Mm-hmm. Good student.
The X works good for anyone in like a civil rights movement or training people to harness their mutant powers.
If you're in a wheelchair and you're bald, it might work for you, too.
I get the whole strict dad, you know, when the kid comes over for a date, I'm going to make sure I'm polishing my gun, to warn him to get my daughter home on time, curfew, but... To shoot some kid dead because he snuck into her bedroom. I mean,
that's an awkward episode of Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, it's awful.
Like that's as old as like a boy sneaking into a girl's bedroom is as old as like as long as girls have had bedrooms, boys have been sneaking into them.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's going to happen if you have teenage daughters.
Yeah, we were, my sister and I were shoving dudes out the back of our house, making them hop fences and whatever. More my sister than me, but, occasionally I would sneak a boyfriend over. But I was usually smart, and I would figure out what time they were coming
you
home.
You give them a bulletproof vest.
No, but, my dad was always like the, I keep a baseball bat underneath my bed,
Oh, my dad would tell my sister, he'd be like, anybody pulls up in a van or a motorcycle, they're getting shot. And he didn't even have a gun. Like, I will find one, I'll get a Louisville Slugger or something.
My kids obey my rules of not letting boys into the house because I said, if you let boys in your room when I'm not home, then we all have to sit around and listen to my comedy albums together.
Oh, no.
And they're like, no!
Or you think they're obeying your rules.
They'll be virgins until they're 24.
If they're not getting caught, then they're obeying the rules.
Well, exactly.
As long as they're not getting caught and not getting pregnant,
I was just really good at not getting caught. My sister, on the other hand, I don't know what she was thinking sometimes. I'm like, they're coming home like in 10 minutes. Why would you cut it so close? Why wouldn't you just have them leave a half an hour before mom and dad are supposed to be home? Well, we just want to spend some extra time together.
Yeah, but I would have been terrified that my parents would come home early. Like
Same
this whole
here.
Mom and dad are coming home. I'm like, what? First of all, my parents... They didn't go to parties and stuff.
All the girls that I snuck into my room were made of paper, and they were pictures, so I could just put them under my bed, and they were gone.
Yeah. Bill, do you have a girl in there? I hear crinkling.
That's great.
It would have freaked me out to sneak somebody out of the house and try to get... I mean, I ran out of a handful of houses. Maybe it was more of like a guy running from a chick's house thing.
Yeah.
Then girls weren't willing to like hop fences and stuff. They didn't have to.
Yeah, you have to climb.
We had to do what we had to do to get some. Yeah.
Also, because we have the need to get out. Like, we got to go and get it. Like, it's part of the hunt.
It's not going to come to us.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like, no girls sneaking into a boy's house. You have to go throw stones at the window.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
You gotta hold a,
stones at the
you
window.
You do. You got to hold a boombox over your head. Yeah. All that nonsense. All that bull shrimp.
Hey, Charlotte, let me in.
Uh-huh. Have
to climb the lattice.
Gutter, yeah.
Climb the lattice on the side of the house with the ivy running on it.
Oh, God. Erica's like, first I'm going to need you to get out of my crotch, then get out of my house. My parents are coming back.
I was always pretty good about it, but I remember specifically remember helping my sister sneak a couple of guys out one time, and my dad was pulling into the driveway as they were running around the house. My dad's like, I don't think there's just some random male teenagers coming from my backyard for fun, so I'm pretty sure my daughter had them over and was trying to sneak them out.
And not only that, but like... You know why the kid is over there. Mm-hmm. So either your daughter has already been violated, or you stopped him.
Or is moments away from it.
Yeah, exactly. You stopped him before the launch codes were punched in.
They always forgot to park their bikes on the side of the house instead of in the driveway.
Their bikes! Oh, God. He hops on his bike, his Huffy, flying down the road. Your dad run him down with the car.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it's not hard to do that. I would always go on foot. I never wanted any evidence. I wasn't going to leave a trail, not a bike in the yard. I was always on foot.
Yeah.
Because if I had to get out through a window or something, I didn't have to worry about where the bike is. On foot.
That was smart.
Yep. Smart kid.
I just like the image of my dad pulling into the driveway, and there's just these two or three boys running from our backyard, hop on their bikes, and they just drive away.
See, you'd go on foot. I'd use a pogo stick because no one's going to think that a kid on a pogo stick is getting any action. So you get out of the house, you're on a pogo stick, like, oh, you don't have to worry about that kid. He's a dork.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's no, that was your perfect cover.
Hide in plain sight.
Yeah. Jump rope away. Skip it away.
Skipping, yeah. I'll see you later.
No, skip it. Remember the Skip-Its?
No. Skip-Its?
Yeah. Skip-Its like a little ball.
A little ball on the end, a loop.
And then it's got like a something you put around your ankle and you can just skip over it.
No.
It's the dumbest toy ever. But
no.
Razor scooter away.
No.
Razor scooter away.
Yeah, if you had your Moxie, if you run into the parents, you're like, I was just dropping off with some homework.
Yeah.
See you in theater class. Mike in Rochester, what's going on?
How's it going, Alan?
Good.
Hey, I got a good sneaking a girl in story for you.
All right.
So when I was in high school, I think it might have been like junior year before I had a license, I had lived in an apartment with my grandparents, and my girlfriend would occasionally come over, and I'd sneak her in the window after I got home, and I'd let her in the window, and we were doing what, you know, 11th graders did back in the day, and my grandparents knocked on my door, told me my uncle was over, and they wanted me to come say hi. So she had to climb under the bed naked, and I was in such a rush to get out there to, you know, do what I had to do. I actually zippered my junk in my pants. I'm out there, and she wanted me to have coffee with him and say hi. So she's under the bed naked for 45 minutes.
Oh, man.
I'm sitting out there with a bruised D, and it was a good time. I got back into the room, and she, like, almost left me because I left her there for 45 minutes under the bed. And I left the door cracked so she could see us, but we couldn't see her.
Mike's grandmother coined the phrase, how'd you get the Frank above the beans? Beans above the Frank. All right, thank you, Mike. He lived to tell the tale. I'm sure Mike's wife, if he's married, is very happy with his shredded D from, oh, those many years ago.
Looks like Frankenstein's monster across the top.
There's a video going around of a McDonald's drive-thru in Connecticut that got hacked, in air quotes. Sounds more to me like somebody working there was ready to quit that day, pull a Jim Brewer, but they're saying, our drive-thru got hacked. Somebody hacked into the frequency. Now, if you could hack into the frequency, and granted, I don't know the ins and outs of that with respect to drive-thru speakers, what frequencies they operate on, it seems like you might shoot a little bit higher. New Bern, Connecticut. The McDonald's. Somebody hacked into it.
and was just cursing at people.
More than 33,000 times. She was, the customer was trying to order at the drive-thru when this happened. Take a listen.
You know, I'm actually on the toilet right now, and I'm just going to serve you your food. I'm not even going to wash my hands. Hey, you know what? Just pull forward, because I'm going to give you whatever the f*** I feel like giving you.
Now, as you just heard there, the video does include profanity, which we have edited out.
I like that she told people that, too. We've edited out the profanity. Have you, TV lady? Thank you.
You mean he didn't just make a beeping noise with his own mouth?
Yeah.
He didn't go, I'm going to serve you whatever that beep, beep you want.
I want.
Yeah.
Yep. Isn't that somebody working the drive-thru that figures that nobody's going to circle back around? McDonald's employee confirmed that the intercom frequency was hacked. Because you're not going to want to go through your personnel and figure out what kid on the shift was working. We're investigating.
I doubt that's hackable.
Oh, somebody might be able to tell me. I know we have a lot of nerds that listen to the show. Can you hack a drive-through speaker? That's become the go-to these days with actual hacking as pervasive and dangerous as it seems to be with respect to people's privacy. Hacking has also become like a get-out-of-jail-free card for people who effed up in some colossal way. Oh, I was hacked.
Just imagine some high, like, profile hacker, like, all right, I'm going to have a little fun. I've done all these WikiLeaks and all this other crazy stuff, but I want to really sock it to some people going through a McDonald's drive-thru. So commence with a quick movie-style typing that signifies hacking is going down, where I go, I'm almost in.
I believe.
I'm almost in.
Put your phone handset on the modem and start your war games. It's the return of Kevin Mitnick. He's quietly working his way back into the hacker community by, he's starting small, a couple of fast food drive-thrus. Yes, Pound Cake?
I believe anything is hackable. And I think people who do have extra time on their hands could do something like that. Maybe in this instance, it's not true, but it's definitely possible.
Hello, welcome to McDonald's.
Hey! Can I get two McChickens?
Two McChickens, that'll be $49.
$49.
Yeah, you want two McChickens?
Two McChickens is on the dollar menu.
Why do you like chicken so much?
Because I eat terribly.
No,
and I like
why do you really like chicken so much?
Are you insinuating something, sir?
I'm asking you why you like chicken so much.
Because it's good.
I don't actually even work here. I'm just going to give you to whatever the beep I want to give you.
Excuse me?
How many McChickens do you want?
I want two McChickens.
Why do you like chicken so much?
Well, I also want...
Do you like chicken tonight?
I want
will I complete your order?
No, actually. I actually wanted a dollar fry with that, too. The McValue fry, you know, the one that comes like in the little packet.
This is my first day. I don't know what that is.
Thought you didn't work here.
Hey, Pound Cake, can you get me a beef and cheddar while you're there?
Yeah, beef and
cheddar. We don't sell beef and cheddar. You're at the wrong... I'm going to give you a beef and cheddar because I don't work here.
McDouble, too.
Will I complete your order?
And a milkshake.
Can you
will I complete your order?
Can you stop by Arby's and get me a beef and cheddar?
No.
They have the meats. I mean, what? Why do you like chicken so much?
Right.
Anyway.
Although, I did eat chicken last night with Bill. And our friend James was making fun of me because of it.
Oh, good for you!
You and Bill had chicken? How did you manage to bury that lead?
No. Me and Bill didn't have chicken.
I had popcorn. We went to the movies.
You and Pound Cake went to the movies?
Me, Pound Cake, and our friend James went to the movies.
Went to the movies?
You didn't tell me about this?
It slipped my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just we went and saw Doctor Strange.
You know he's not required to tell you everything.
We
even
talk
though
about
I think
everything.
He probably
well,
does.
But he tells me everything I don't care about knowing.
You care about that?
You really care about him going to the movies with Bill?
Well, I knew my friend James was going with Bill because he's been looking for someone to go see Doctor Strange with him for a while.
Yeah, we
and
had
Bill
the day.
Talked about it the other day and he was listening. He
yeah, we had the afternoon off, so I was like, let's go see a movie. But I was here earlier doing the Boston Mills meeting with Pound Cake and the Boston Mills people, and then we did a quick Ronnie and Clyde, and then I was like, hey, I'm going to see a movie with James, do you want to go?
Yeah, who scrawled Ronnie and Clyde on the office wall?
I did. I erased all those things that we haven't done for 2 years.
He said you were going to say something to him.
But yeah, it was Ronnie and Clyde. Of that room, like ideas that never got used are kind of like...
Ronnie and Clyde is equal to all those.
So how did you drag Pound Cake to Doctor Strange?
I just asked him if he wanted to go, and he said yes.
Oh, because he was already out here?
Yeah. Well, we went to... He'd never been to an AMC before with the reclining chairs.
Oh, my God.
Where do you usually go see your movies, Pound Cake?
I used to go to like a Regal or a Cinemark or...
They don't have those?
No! Mm. They barely have foot room, let alone a reclining
chair.
They
show movies in an airplane cabin? Is that what it is?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I was in awe. I said, oh my God, look at all this, the foot room. And they're like, oh wait, wait till you sit down in the chairs. Then I sit down in a chair and I got my chicken fingers and I'm all luxuriating. And then they're like,
wait, you got chicken fingers in the movie?
That's why
you're one of those guys. James that just stinks up the whole friggin' multiplex. Oh, I need nachos. Like, why? Stop with all the home food at the movie.
Nachos is fine. Chicken fingers is a different story, but I have gotten chicken fingers there too because. They're good and
they bang.
There's movie theaters that sell you like fajitas.
Yeah,
like,
I don't want
to eat. You're
like
sitting
that.
Next to somebody with a sizzling plate and like, dude, go home and eat. Why did you just pay $9 a seat to eat here?
Popcorn's just as loud. I hate when people eat popcorn next to me.
Well, if you keep your mouth closed like a human being, it's not a loud thing.
Nobody does.
He's eating chicken fingers.
Listen.
Well, you do like chicken.
I hadn't eaten anything for.
Why do you like chicken so much?
It's tasty.
All right.
And James had the unmitigated gall to sit there. He's like, you got chicken? Really? I'm like, yes. And he just started laughing. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, I'm with him. Yeah.
So I just was laying back in my chair, luxuriating with my chicken
fingers.
So
just nothing to see there.
Because God damn it, I like chicken, okay?
Three dudes going to see a movie together in the dark.
Did you like a pound cake?
I actually
or
did.
Or were the chicken fingers the highlight of the movie for you?
I finished the chicken fingers before the previews were over.
Jesus. This kid over here.
I hadn't eaten anything all day, and so I got chicken fingers there. And then I was done before the previews were. So I just got to enjoy the movie, undistracted.
What do they charge you for chicken fingers at the movies, pray tell?
It was like $8.99.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
You're that hungry?
That's not that bad.
And they probably give you like two of them, three of them.
I got like five, and they're little ones. Like, I could got them for Burger King.
Well, yeah, they're fingers.
I know.
Those are real small in a chicken. Have you ever looked at a chicken? His fingers are tiny, pancake. $9 for five tiny little fingers.
And one little itty-bitty little packet of honey mustard. Like, it wasn't even...
You got sauce, too?
Yeah!
You got a dipping sauce?
Yeah, wow. You got to dip your food in something.
What kind of sadist eats chicken fingers dry?
Person who likes chicken. I got to dip them in something.
Yeah, that's what they're for.
Ugh. At the movies?
Sometimes they're called chicken dippers.
Filling the whole theater with chicken farts after that.
We were like the only ones in there. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a matinee.
Did you put a buffer seat in between each of you?
No, not at that theater, because those seats are so big and they have the dividers between them. You don't really need a buffer
seat. If they were
seat.
Narrower seats, would you have gotten a buffer
Absolutely.
Seat in between? Yeah.
I mean, that's...
No, they
want to
make sure
saying.
That they can share the armrest together.
Did you share your chicken
well,
fingers
Well, yeah, what if there's
anybody?
A scary moment and we have to cuddle together?
You got to be able to squeeze the knee of the guy next to you,
that's
I guess.
That's right.
Wow. People are telling me that you can hack a drive-through speaker.
You can hack anything. I told you.
But I don't... Well, okay. But this
I
seems,
just don't feel like it's likely.
This seems to be so low-tech. Somebody said I had a CB radio with an amplifier and it went through all the drive-throughs.
To me, it
well,
sounds...
in that case, it's super easy.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds more likely that there was a disgruntled employee working there that they didn't want to have to address, but then somebody hacking their drive-through.
I don't know. Alan, a low-tech hacking is just hanging a sign that says speaker failing. Please yell your order. That's great, too.
Yeah.
I'd like 9 chicken McChickens. What are they called? McChickens?
No, they're called chicken McChickens.
Chicken McChickens?
They are now.
Yeah.
Rebrand McDonald's because that's a better name.
Chicken McChickens.
Chicken McChickens.
That's right.
It is catchy.
Mm-hmm. And Poundcake, he just used, it went by so quickly, but I wanted to call attention. He used the phrase unmitigated gall.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Where did
from?
You hear that? It's a great phrase.
Probably from you.
I don't know that I've said that here on the show.
I definitely heard it from someone. I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Good for you.
It's from something.
Use it properly and everything. Well, it's from the English language.
No, but I mean, I don't mean from the dictionary. I mean, it's from something he's seen. A movie.
You know who it's from? I remember now. Charlemagne Tha God.
Charlemagne Tha God.
See, there you mm-hmm. go.
Hey, wherever he's got to get it, I'm all for it.
I know. I just like to see him work in. He always has like at least a new word every like couple of weeks
like
that he
it.
Just tries to work in.
But everybody thinks that I don't read or I don't pay attention to the English language.
But
I
you
do.
Don't.
But you're just saying you got it from Charlemagne the God, a rapper.
He's a radio host.
So
I don't.
Oh, you
sorry.
Know.
I don't care.
Isn't he a rapper too?
No.
No.
Fun fact: celebrity deaths like testicles, sometimes come in threes. The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7
WMMS.
Did anybody see that senator from Nebraska give his commencement address to Ben Sasse?
Yeah, he had a bunch
of Ben Sasse
funny jokes.
He was kind of all over the place.
He what?
He was kind of all over the place. Talking about how his dad was a gym teacher but didn't want to be a gym teacher, and how don't study psychology because there's no money in it. Yeah.
What a mess.
Polk sent me a video of a guy watching the video and then like giving him a light like he's at an open mic, like, okay, wrap it up, like, and like just kind of gradually, like, you know, you get the light when you got a minute left, and then like eventually he's getting the flashlight and just like waving around, like, all right, man,
get off the stage,
it's done.
Yeah, it went for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the commencement address from like that was like on, it was a Saturday night?
Well, you couldn't avoid it.
Yeah, it was on.
They ran it on everything.
I was able to avoid it.
I didn't watch it.
I watched it from the hot tub outside, but it was fun.
It was on CNN, ABC, Fox, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook. It's on everything. LeBron was on it.
I wanted to graduate.
First, don't be afraid. America's gone through tough times before, and each time, we came out stronger. Second, do what you think is right. You won't get it right every time. You'll make mistakes, like we all do. But if you listen to the truth that's inside yourself, even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient, people will notice. They'll gravitate towards you. And you'll be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And finally, build a community. No one does big things by themselves.
That, of course, was Pharrell.
Yeah. I just got a little choked up because I heard Obama's voice, and I'm like, I want him in charge so bad right now. Like, listening to him, and I know he's not even saying anything about the current climate, but I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, a real president.
Way better.
Oh.
Like, that's just how white folks will do you.
But this Ben Sasse guy, yeah, I think people think that because he's like a young dude that somehow he's going to have some hip information. That is not the case.
Congratulations, parents, teachers, and coaches. Not that there's really any meaningful distinction among those categories anymore at this point. If you're a parent, you're a teacher. Thanks a lot, China. Graduates.
These guys love to go down this China road. Oh, China. Oh, China.
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 Nobody remembers their high school graduation, except for you guys. You guys are going to be the first generation in human history to actually have your high school graduation seared into your memories. You're going to be at your class reunion in 25 or 30 years. I mean, people 30 years out of high school are really old. By the way, I graduated high school 30 years ago this month, so thanks for rubbing it in.
This is all pre-written, by the way. You can watch him reading it.
You're going to say stuff at your high school reunion service ceremonies. Remember that time that China started a big global pandemic that created the worst public health crisis in over a century and brought the economy to its knees, and we had to stay at home and everybody was hoarding toilet paper and we all watched this documentary about some weirdo dude who raised tigers? Yeah, it'll be pretty hard to forget that.
Hey, do you feel inspired, kids?
No.
I do.
I think even high school kids are smart enough to see all that dumb crap.
I feel like I am at a commencement right now because I totally zoned out. I feel like that's exactly how I would have been if I was at a commencement where they were giving the speeches, because I'm just like, do-do-do-do.
Right.
What? Someone's talking? Yeah, I'm not even.
See, I didn't know, like, I guess I didn't pay attention to whenever in the movies they show, like, a commencement address. I didn't realize that the graduates sit on the stage. I thought we were going to be, like, sitting on the crowd and then go up and, like, go on
the graduates are in the crowd.
Graduates don't sit on the stage.
We sat on the stage while, like, our, you know.
How big was the stage?
It was pretty freaking big.
How big was your class?
98. We had 98 students.
Oh, well, that's why you sat on the stage.
We had, like, 400 or something in my class.
Like, I was really scared.
No way to know for me.
I had a booger in my nose, and I was trying to pick it and not be noticed by people.
But even with 93, why would you be on the stage?
I don't, well, ours.
So you were behind the speaker looking out at the families?
Yep, we were behind the speaker.
and looking out at the families.
This was not college.
This was high school.
High school.
And it was at Finney Chapel, which is a huge chapel in Oberlin. So you can fit 100 kids on that stage because they have orchestras there.
In a way, I feel like this is one of the best years to graduate because no one's paid this much attention to a high school graduation
ever.
In ages.
Celebrities weren't doing us commencement addresses.
No one's cared about graduation. And now it's all people are talking about. Like, oh, these kids, they need their commencement speech. They need their ceremony and all that stuff. And it's just like...
Well, they do feel robbed, though, because everybody else gets something. And
they're getting
don't.
Something bigger and better than everybody else is getting.
But it's not individualized.
Who cares?
Individualized.
You don't get your name. I mean, this is big to some kids. I mean, because they might not get a college graduation. This might
who
be the
cares?
Hard graduation.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't get any
but
of them.
But they care. Yeah, but everyone's not you, Bill.
Yeah. And I'm telling them that they got something special this year because they're the generation, they're the year that gets this weird asterisk where they can talk about it forever. And they go, oh, we didn't get the one that you all had the same experience for the most part. This is the unique year.
Who knows? It might be 2021. 2021 might not get one either.
We're not going to have a structured society by next year. It's all going to fall apart.
But even again...
So they don't get a commencement either is what I'm saying.
Well, right, but
still...
But they
get a different experience.
They're laying the precedent for annual celebrity commencement addresses. Mm-hmm. And who cares, really?
These millennials just getting participation awards. Everybody's giving them specific.
Millennials are 40.
It's Ben Affleck here for Cameo. I'm so glad that your principal booked me for your commencement.
Right.
Yeah, there were some of those.
Hey, I'll do a Cameo get down commencement.
I heard Bill doing a get down Cameo in the hallway this morning. It was the best. I couldn't tell what the hell was going on. All I heard was like,
commencement, class of 2020.
Oh, man. I am glad I'm not locked into a vocal shredder on Cameo.
Oh, it's fun, though.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it's getting people
good for you.
Getting requests like crazy.
There you go.
Or like, five, but whatever.
Pretty crazy.
It's building. It's building.
Yeah.
I don't talk about it a lot either. Could talk about it more.
You can always check in, by the way, on the Alan Cox Show After Hours line if you're not able to join us during the show. You can always leave us a message. That is 216-986-8903.
So I started playing a game at the beginning of quarantine with my significant other. And it was probably the worst timing to play that game because now we hate each other. And it is a game where you classify all foods into two categories, salad or sandwich.
Is this a game anyone's familiar with?
No.
You'd have to classify everything as salad or sandwich.
All right. I'm down. I'm into it.
So this led to some pretty spirited debate. And based on your kebab conversation, I would like to pose the question to...
Oh, yeah, kebab is a corn dog.
Yeah, is a corn dog a kebab?
Is a corn dog a kebab? We landed on that last week.
Yes.
And I think we've figured out it was.
It was, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Pound cake as a pound opinion, and to the rest of you. Your answer and your explanation for each of the following foods. Ravioli.
Ravioli. Salad or sandwich?
Sandwich. It's surrounded by dough. Easy one.
Yeah, but you don't eat it. You don't hold it. Sandwiches are held.
I feel like this is getting rid of a lot of very specific details, and we're just boiling it down to the fundamentals. Because, first of all, I reject the premise that salad... I know, I'm just saying. I need the asterisk. Salad versus sandwich, that's absolutely a quarantine game, and no wonder they hate each other now.
Right.
You could eat ravioli with your hands, so you think...
You could eat a salad with your hands.
Yeah, so that I don't think
you're committed.
So it's a salad. Salad.
Salad. Sandwich. To me, a sandwich is held. You hold a sandwich. And it goes back to the open-faced toast avocado sandwich.
What about a cucumber sandwich?
Two pieces of cucumber.
Sandwich supersede salad.
I don't know, but a ravioli.
What if you like a lot of bread in your salad, like I do?
Yeah, I'm going ravioli is sandwich. They're a bunch of little sandwiches.
I guess they're cheese surrounded by pasta.
I would absolutely. I don't. I think that's an easy one. I would absolutely say sandwich for ravioli.
More than a salad, yeah.
Right.
All right. What else?
And pound cake. You know what a salad is, right?
Yeah.
Now hold on. Wait. It's got dressing though. Sandwich is gonna have dressing. All right. Go ahead.
Condiments are sandwich dressings. Miracle Whip.
A bowl of soup.
A bowl of soup.
Salad.
Salad.
It's salad, right?
Yeah.
A shish kebab
A shish kebab. See, he's going back. Is a shish kebab a salad or a sandwich?
It's a salad because if you take all the ingredients off of the stick, you're not going to eat that
with
your hand.
It's a salad on a stick.
Yeah.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue as much.
I'm going to go salad as well.
Yeah.
Shish kebabs and salads on sticks.
But a corn dog is a shish kebab. A corn dog is not a salad.
But if a corn, through the transitive property here, if a corn dog is a shish kebab.
And a shish kebab is a salad,
then a corn dog is a salad.
It is not. But I've seen people take a corn dog off the stick and they just, you know, they chop it up. Because I had one of those sausage.
But they don't put it in a salad. They cut it up and eat it.
Corn dog salad.
Have you never had one of those?
I can't believe they don't have that at the Ohio State Fair.
Pancakes and sausage on a stick. Those are the best things
ever. That's not a corn dog.
But it's also not a salad.
Not a salad.
It's a sandwich.
But shish kebab is closer to a salad.
But it
comes off in pieces.
But the pancake and sausage is still meat in the middle surrounded by bread.
So good. It's so good. I want one of those. I'm going to buy some.
So is what he's talking about a corn dog and thereby a shish kebab and therefore
a salad. Is a corn dog a salad?
A basket of chicken wings.
A basket of chicken wings. Is that sandwich or salad?
This is breaded.
No, I like it.
No wonder they hate each other.
Because it forces you to think outside the box. You have to look at things from
outside
a different perspective.
Outside the bun.
Yeah.
To borrow an old marketing term.
That would be a salad.
Chicken wings!
Yeah, because you can add, you know, like Parmesan cheese to them. You can add other condiments on top of the wings.
And
a lot
you
of people
also
do. And you put dressing
dip
on
them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I'm
a salad.
Go salad, yeah.
But you don't dip a salad.
You hold it with your hand. I can't get over the hold it with your hands thing. If you hold it with your hands, to me, that's closer to a sandwich.
Boy, chicken wings, salad or sandwich?
It's a physical salad bar.
It's not, though.
But it's not, a sandwich is something with stuff in the middle. So I'm going to say sandwich, because
it's
chicken
breading
wing.
With chicken in the
middle? Well, I'm not even thinking
chicken
of the breading.
Chicken bone in the middle?
I was going to say.
I'm saying it's skin
Did
with
say chicken wings
meat
or
in
chicken
the middle.
Fingers.
Chicken wings.
Chicken wing basket.
I'm going to say it's chicken skin
I'm
with meat
salad.
In the middle.
I'm going salad.
Salad.
It's a chicken salad.
A chicken salad.
A basket of chicken wings and a pizza.
A pizza.
Pizza's a sandwich.
Pizza is a sandwich, yeah.
Pizza's not a salad?
No.
It's cheese.
Calzone is a pizza sandwich.
Vegetables. Calzone is a pizza sandwich.
Would you classify those foods as either a salad or a sandwich? And why?
Yeah, okay, well, we figured it out. There's a guy whose girlfriend now hates him. Well, actually, they hate each other, in fairness to him, because they're... Why would you set that up? Out of all of the quarantine activities, why salad or sandwich?
Don't you want to have fun arguments like that with your significant other?
No, I don't want to have any arguments with my significant other.
I love ridiculous arguments.
Why?
Because they're silly and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but the bad feelings are still the same.
Well, like, if Mary goes, well, chicken fingers are
she's
a sandwich.
She's not your significant
other. I know,
other.
But I'm saying if someone were to disagree with me on chicken wings being a salad or a sandwich, I wouldn't hold that against him because it's a stupid situation
and
it doesn't
argue,
matter.
Right?
Yeah, it's supposed
to
be
passionate.
It's a blood sport, man.
That's good because
I argue
to
win.
I argue to get the other person fired up. Like that's the fun part.
No,
come on.
Arguing just to argue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no fun.
But that's that's the whole point of this situation.
No, it isn't. It's to make a point and defend it, not to rile someone else up.
I think arguments are to show that you're right.
Yeah,
to win.
But
I'm the Michael
right,
Jordan of arguments. I'm just there to win.
What's right about any of these assessments that we just made?
Well, no, this is silly.
That's what I'm saying.
We're expanding
That's why I
it.
Said,
oh.
I'm saying I like silly arguments.
Yeah.
Real arguments are different, but these silly ones are fun.
I like silly arguments, but I am the person who's going to take it a step too far. And I'd be like, see, this is what you always do. You say that a chicken wing is a sandwich, and then you just never commit to anything.
Yeah,
and
well,
this is why we don't have a new car.
Well, you can't do that.
All right, well, that's
You're psychotic.
I know. That's your own issues that you got
to
work out.
Yeah. But
remind me never.
Wait, hold on.
Remind me never to play sandwich or salad with you again.
Does that not go down that path for you guys? You start with something silly, and then a personality trait will come out. Mickey, this is what you do. You act this way.
I think if the overall vibe of an argument is silly, then someone can throw in something a little too real, and I'll still keep it silly. I mean, your significant other knows you pretty well. Sooner or later, they're going to pull out a big gun, and you have to go, okay, you got. Let's just end the conversation right here. Because the sandwich alignment chart someone sent me. Thank you. There are, and this is a, there are three things on your x-axis and there are three things on your y-axis, all right?
Okay.
There are ingredient purists and then there are structure purists. And yeah, that would be a BLT, right?
Sandwich.
Firmly a sandwich. Mm-hmm. This is largely visual, but I'll try to suss it out for you. There's ingredient neutral. There's structure neutral. A true neutral is referred to as a hot dog. It's ingredient neutral and structure neutral. But in this chart, a hot dog is assumed to be a sandwich.
It's meat between bread, yeah.
I'm a hot dog stands alone type of guy.
Burger is not...
I don't believe... What?
Burger is its own thing too?
No.
A burger is a sandwich, but a hot dog is not.
I'm not saying that I have facts when, to back this up.
When hamburgers were introduced, they were called hamburger sandwiches.
Were they?
Yes.
Were hot dogs called hot dog sandwiches?
I don't know about that, but I'm pretty sure the hamburger was introduced as a hamburger sandwich.
Just a hamburger looks like a sandwich. It has two horizontal pieces of bread, sometimes three. A hot dog...
You don't hold your hot dogs horizontally?
Huh?
You don't put a meat sideways?
Meat? I eat it like a typewriter. Like corn on the cob is how I eat my hot dogs. Yeah, okay. And then the structure rebel and an ingredient rebel, right? Radical sandwich anarchy falls into structure rebel and ingredient rebel, a Pop-Tart. A Pop-Tart is a sandwich under those two conditions.
Well, then a ravioli is definitely a sandwich.
Ingredient rebel, but structure neutral, is like a Choco Taco, an ice cream taco.
Yeah, it's a sandwich. I think I'm more, I need the structure. I want it to look like,
okay.
I need to hold it. I want it to have two pieces and stuff in the middle.
A structure rebel, but ingredient neutral, is a burrito. A burrito is a sandwich under those two circumstances. Okay. And an ingredient purist, but a structure rebel, is a chicken wrap. So all the ingredients are in there.
A wrap is a sandwich. A wrap is a wrap, but those are kind of the same. Burrito is a Mexican wrap.
Ice cream between waffles.
Burritos aren't even Mexican, by the way.
According to this. What?
Burritos are not Mexican.
What are they?
They're not, it's an Americanized thing. Mexico did not make up burritos.
Well, they make a mean one.
Mexican style food? What would you like me to call it?
A burritos edition Mexican and Tex-Mex cuisine.
Yes, but
origin, Mexico.
I had a friend that was Mexican. She was like, burritos aren't even Mexican. I think it would
be just because someone's Mexican doesn't mean they know everything about Mexico.
Well, she's from Mexico, and she told...
You know how many Americans don't know what the hell goes on here? They don't know anything about our history. They were born here.
Okay.
Was she born there?
Yes.
All right, doesn't mean she knows everything about their food.
I just remember when
I just figured out what ingredient neutral is.
When we were in high school, I was just like, can you make a mean burrito? She's like, burritos aren't even Mexican. And she would yell at me. I was like, okay.
Well, now you get to yell at her and say, hey, stupido. It means little donkey in Spanish, in fact. You know, burrito, little donkey. Yeah. You're eating a little donkey every time you go to Chipotle.
Been there.
Why don't you talk to her anymore?
We just kind of grew apart.
Because she led you astray too many times on her own culture?
Nah, I just got famous.
What did she say that it was?
I'm
just kidding.
This guy.
Where's your cameo?
What did she say was the origin of burritos?
She said it was an Americanized with a Mexican themed food. Like, it was made in Texas somewhere. And, you know, because Mexico wants to incorporate American culture when Americans travel there, they incorporated the burrito.
She was on a big high horse but didn't actually know any facts.
I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Texas is not Mexico.
Well, no. Well, it used to be. No, but even if you're like in a Mexican border town and you can wave to Texas or whatever, you know, you're still eating Mexican food.
Yeah.
Throwing a burrito over the river doesn't make it an American dish.
Try this.
Sounds like a fun game, though.
Huh?
Sounds like a fun game.
Throw the burrito over the river?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch it in your mouth like a grape?
I'd rather play that than salad or sandwich.
I used to catch hard-boiled eggs in my mouth.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's too big. You're like a snake.
You used to, I don't recall this, you used to catch hard-boiled eggs in your mouth.
Yes.
As a game, people would throw money down? Or?
Well, we were camping as a family, and my mom brought a bunch of hard-boiled eggs, and I was like, can I have one of those? And she's like, sure. And she just threw it to me, and I caught it in my mouth, just because I thought it'd be funny, rather than catching it, and I did it, and she's like, let's do that again. And she threw a few, and I'm like, hey, I can do this.
But you
and
didn't eat each one of them.
And we only did like three times.
Oh, okay.
And then.
But so you did. You ate three hard boiled eggs in succession.
Mm-hmm. I could eat three hard boiled eggs.
And then.
Six deviled eggs.
I did a
talent show at church, and my talent was my friend was throwing hard-boiled eggs across the length of a gym.
Like, you were catching them?
And I caught one out of, I think we tried it like five times, and I got one. But it was a pretty good throw.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you win
a new car when he made the
super
show?
Super dangerous. I could have choked.
No, it was, for sure.
Really bad idea.
Am I in the minority here that eggs are a camping food? Are people bringing hard-boiled eggs on camping trips? I've never heard of that.
They're pretty versatile. I'll say that. Yeah, I've brought eggs
really
on a trip.
Cold, do
hard-boiled
they?
Do.
Really?
Sure. Hard-boiled eggs.
They gotta be cold.
Yeah, but
I guess it's no different than like lunch.
Seal them up.
Right?
Yeah.
They're in a cooler, like...
That would be the last thing I would think to bring on a camping trip would be eggs.
You've never brought eggs on a camping
no.
trip?
No.
Egg salad, nothing like that.
No.
You don't cook eggs on the over the fire?
On a grill.
Fire.
No.
Campfire eggs
are incredible.
I'm sure that they are, but we would have hamburgers, hot dogs, lunch meat.
That's nighttime. Oh. Eggs are morning.
I feel like... No.
You've never cooked eggs in the morning on a camping trip?
I've had, like, muffins.
My mom would just load us up with food, so... It was just one of the many options we had.
Yeah.
That's why the Squire boys each had to wear cargo pants.
Mm-hmm. And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.